We'll make a movie criticizing Christmas for being commercialized. That is itself commercializing Christmas. It's gonna make a lot of money.
Do you really want to take time off from selling insurance and babies' organs to make a movie? This is the Red Ice audience, you know. The Goyim know.
Well, I guess you're right. How about a Christmas album? Yeah! We'll make the Al-Qaeda Hanukkah Christmas album. This will make a lot of shekels.
Every Christmas song you love is Jews wrote it. Like, every single one. It's crazy, these Jews.
Yeah, I mean, this is
I
not...
I just made it other.
Like, that's not... But that's a very true thing. That, like, this, you're not just making something up about these Christmas songs. Are a lot of, like, famous Jewish songwriters.
Every Christmas song you love is written by a Jewish person. Yeah. Every Christmas song you love is Jews wrote it.
Like, oh, boy, it's that special time of year.
Hey, oi, hey.
And our Israeli, I mean, our Al-Qaeda Christmas Hanukkah album, too, is finally here. Don't miss these wonderful classics.
It's roasting on an open fire.
Let it show up. All I want for Christians is hell. Al-Nusra is bombing your town. It's beginning to look a lot like ISIS.
It's beginning to look a lot like ISIS. Everywhere you go, take a look at the 5 to 10. They're heading once again, where Saudi coin and NATO guns still flow.
Oh, be little dumber goy. 'Twas the hype before ISIS. Larry the hook-nosed profiteer.
You know Feinberg and Murdoch. What time I Kushner, Ellison, Soros, Lowry, and Milton? What do you recall? The most shameless profiteer of them all.
Larry the hook-nosed profiteer had a very lucky break. Doubled up on his insurance, so several billion he would make.
Do you fear what I fear? Featuring Alex Jones, our good boy. Oh, Violent Night. It's the most pants-shitting time of the year. Oh, little towns of Afghanistan. We three kings of Saudi Royale. Wreck the laws and blame it on Haji.
Wreck the laws and blame it on Haji. Allah, 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 Hasbara. If no reason, blame Iraqis. Allah, 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 Hasbara.
Oh, come all ye hateful. No Taliban in the mountains. And a personal favorite, a slaying song.
Crashing through the home, over children's bones. Oh, what fun it is to kill snap pictures with our phones. Oh, chosen ones, apartheid on display. We'll cry human shields as we burn their fields and take their land away. They, chosen ones, racism on display. On the U.S. dime, this land's all mine, and God said it's okay.
I'm dreaming of white phosphorus.
I'm dreaming of a white...
You're a mean one, Mr. Putin.
Mr.
Hey!
Don't forget our Christmas classic! The 6 million days of Shoah.
It's not true. God, in my imagination, it was true.
On the first day of Shoah, my Führer was so kind, an apple but only in my mind. On the second day of Shoah, my Führer was so kind, 2 jack-off machines and an apple, but only in my mind. On the third day of Shoah, mein Führer was so kind. 3 gas fans, 2 jack-off machines, and an apple, but only in my mind. On the fourth day of Shoah, mein Führer was so kind. 4 holocausters, 3 gas fans, 2 jack-off machines, and an apple, but only in my mind.
So kind? I wanted an eagle!
The 12th day of Shoah, mein Führer was so kind. 12 shower heads, 11 bars of soap, 10 lampshades, 9 camps escaped, 8 electric floors, 7 cattle cars, 6 Nazi geese, 5 poop diamonds, 4 holocausters, 3 gas fans, 2 jack-off machines, and an apple, but only in my mind.
In my mind, it was real.
So what do you think, Shlomo? Wasn't our Fuhrer so kind?
I wanted an eagle and a bear! And where's my bagels?
Catch our Al-Qaeda Christmas Hanukkah album, too! Right now, it's only $6 million with interest. But you can get a coupon at Moishe's Bagel Shop. And remember, kids, pointing out our primitive religion and policy of racial colonization makes you anti-Semitic. You're not allowed to criticize our brutality, not even when it's as a joke on a Christmas album. Buy the DVD. I gotta go. I got organs to sell.
All right, there we go, ladies and gentlemen. I bear no responsibility for that video. No, I think it's borderline, yeah. But hopefully it's
where
fine.
Did you find that thing? That was the beautiful Ryan. Voices of Shlomo and Moishe Bagelsberg.
Yeah.
Two nice whole, young Jewish girls.
Is that your whole album right there?
There actually is an entire album. Yeah.
Okay, so where do people get it? Because,
well, I'm going to have to put it on some third party place and then tell you over there. It's not mine. I have no
idea who did that.
That's a bit wrong.
it's on my forum, which is on ancreport.com. All the lyrics are written out too. If you want to go Christmas caroling with those.
It's funny because you're not allowed to joke about those kinds of things. That's why it's so much more fun also.
Right. Well, I mean, I joke about all the other stuff too. Is that one's the one?
Oh,
that
no,
gets
of
you.
Course. You know, but the taboo stuff, that's what the stuff is. Every comedian knew this just a decade or so ago, you know, two maybe.
Yeah. All right. We cut out Joy to the World Trade Center. Oh, you know.
I think that would have passed. I think that would have been okay. Or is it too much?
Clear. September day. Oh, I don't know. It talks about the dancing Israelis and stuff in the song. Well, and the clips with it are, I don't know. It's not my show, so I'm not pushing it on this.
All right, boys and girls, welcome, of course. We're having a laid-back stream here today. Thank you for joining us. If you're joining us live, I saw that VK was having some issues, so hopefully you guys can watch over on VK. I think it should be fine now. I got some stream error before, but it should be okay. So hopefully everything's working. But yes, obviously we're here, as you guys can see, with Ryan Dawson. We could talk about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, the big connections today. You know, a lot of important stuff to go into, of course. But we want to begin more laid back and, you know, mellow. There you go. Nice. I wish I had some. I wish I had some.
A lot of Jack Daniels went into making that album.
Excellent. Good. Sometimes that's all you need, you know, the most important ingredient.
After I got banned for like the fifth time, I'm now on like 7 for YouTube. And I was like, okay, well, I'll take the gloves off then. And I got my channel back and then it erased again. I just lost one today. My backup, whatever it was, got erased in midstream and they canceled my Teasley account, t-shirt and mug and stuff also this week. And I was also tied for anti-Semite of the week with Mia Khalifa,
who is the judge?
She's like
that.
A Lebanese porn star, but she's also a critic.
Unfortunately, I do know only because there's like 100 promotional articles about a year ago, or whatever. Look at this Muslim porn star; she's breaking all the molds, you know, kind of thing. But who's the judge who put you and her on like on par?
It's like stopantisemitism.org or something, which is part of like Canary, which is part of the Israeli state, right? And I'm not anti-Semitic, is what's funny. I'm like, of all the people you could are actually like that, you could nail. But they go after me because I criticize the Israeli state. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, I'll put a bunch of Jewish stereotypes and stuff into a little comedy clip because they do that themselves, right? You've seen Christmas Inc. or the trailer for it. Santa's a white guy. It's all this woke, gross propaganda commercializing Christmas, which Christmas is like a hybrid holiday from another holiday from another holiday. You know, anyway, as you know, you have Yuletide, you have the Saturn Festival from Rome, you got all these things. That's actually multicultural, right?
Yeah.
But they hate it. And they just a whole bunch of Jews got together to make an anti-Christian, anti-white guy movie. And that's okay.
Oh, that's fine.
And I think it should be okay. It's funny or whatever. It's a joke. But why isn't it the same, you know, freedom of speech offered to poke fun of Judaism or
well,
their
see,
faith?
Then it's dehumanizing and dangerous, and it could lead to real world harm. So,
yeah, it could lead to, like, I don't know, a black nationalist running over people at a Christmas parade.
Things like that. You'd think that they had that they could connect those dots and say, you know, that's pretty incredible that they still are just looking the other way for that. Is that a real?
Well, no, it's beyond looking the other way. Like when they did report it, the New York Times, CNN, and I think the filth that Bill Gates is MSNBC, they actually lightened his skin, like in the pictures mm-hmm. of the asshole that ran over people with his SUV. They just, first of all, they just called it a car crash,
vehicular
homicide, which is what it was.
Yeah.
Why would you lighten the guy's skin? Like, that makes it worse. Just he is who he is. I know that's not all black people or anything. He's just some fucking lunatic. But why are you lightening his skin?
Well,
for what?
We know why. Didn't they do the same with the there was some Trump MAGA guy who drove around in the white van with like all this. I mean, it was like very highly suspicious, but they lightened his skin like crazy. I mean, he looked white, and then you see actual photos of the guy, and he was like Hispanic or something like that, Latino.
Oh, they screwed up because his hand was dark and his face was light. They didn't even do the whole.
They don't even care about that anymore. It's just it's so sloppy, and they're just. I mean, in one way, they know who's. The people that believe the media, they have them in the bag already anyway, right? They don't have to worry about them. The ones they're worrying about are those that are like not believing the media. And sometimes it feels that they intentionally are doing sloppy things. I'm not sure if it's rubbing it in our faces or try to create some kind of, what's the term? Schizophrenic is not the right word, but you're like, the reality is so mismatched with what you're getting in the media that you feel insane. When you try to approach, you know, people out there and talk about things,
People say gaslit for that, but that's not originally what that meant. Is like during interrogations or something, the CIA or the FBI would sit there and pound into someone's head, like, why aren't you insert narrative over and over until they just comply? Because that's the only way to get out of there, right? That's gaslighting somebody. They make them feel like, no, you remember that wrong. Everybody tells you you're wrong until you just start agreeing with the group. That's the original gaslit method.
Did you, by the way,
I was just talking about school. That sounds like public school.
Right. Did you see, let me show you this. You had a clip from Santa Inc., as it were, Christmas Inc., whatever it's called. Did you see, look at this one here. Hopefully you didn't see this and we can get your live reaction right now.
All right, sure.
This is an in-between in that HBO Max series there, Santa Inc. And I saw it when I was, you know, going to play episode 2 of it. And this came in between. Look at this here.
It's perfect. Oh, I love Christmas.
You'd have to hate America not to.
Well, I guess it's time. Let's light this puppy. Tyler?
Who's Tyler?
Seth, it's Saturday. Tyler's my Shabbos goy.
Wow. It's beautiful. Can we have Tyler preheat the oven before he leaves?
Already done.
Wow. That's some goy.
You're the best, Tyler. Thank you so much. Have a great lacrosse practice.
So, now what?
Oh, you want to sit on the couch and watch the fire roar?
No, I would rather watch an R-rated animated Christmas comedy with a touch of a feminist agenda.
I have just the thing. When I was a kid, I had big dreams.
All right, and then other stuff comes there. But it's funny. It's almost they're doing everything they can to try to stop people from being so-called anti-Semitic, I guess, right? They just rub it in your faces now, like, oh, what a goy. And that's supposed to be funny, I guess, when he turns towards the camera. What can you say?
It's disgusting. I'm all for freedom of speech, but I just feel like it's not an even playing field. Like,
no.
They are completely immune from criticism, and you can see that whether it's Christians or pagans, anything European, and Europeans themselves, it's open season. You're allowed to bash them. In fact, you're encouraged to do it. Most comedians, they know, like, if they want to end up on Comedy Central with their stand-up, you got to make racial jokes and you got to slam whites all day every day. And if there's any criticism of any other race, you have to belong to that category. But for Jews, this it's almost like some of the stereotypes they themselves might think are true. And so it scares them for people to say that, where the ones about others are so ridiculous. You know, you'd have to kind of be an idiot to gravitate that way. Yeah. You know, like, oh, white people can't eat spicy food, whatever. You know, that's not true. Right? Whatever it is, like, black people run fast and stuff. It's just stupid. But, you know, the crap they did. Look, here's my Shabbos goy. What a great goy. Just imagine the reverse of that. Doing a Hanukkah commercial, or whatever, and be like, here's my greedy Jew or whatever. I mean, no way.
Well, it did Santa Inc., though, as you, I'm sure you saw that. But
it's Santa Inc., yeah, I said yeah. Christmas Inc. This is how little I care.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Right? Like, it did become the lowest rated TV show ever. And of course, did you see some of Seth Rogen's reply? I mean, he replies to a lot of people on Twitter. He genuinely is, like, upset and, like, it's interesting because he's this feedback loop. If you, like, tell him things that pisses him off, he takes all that anger and hate and puts it down into his next project, and it becomes even more anti-white and even more, like, obvious. And so then when they produce that, you're like, oh, great. You know what? I said this, like, keep it coming, buddy. And, like, you're doing
it. Yeah, I think it was a feminist thing, too. They wanted, like, a female person of color. I'd say color people, but they said a person of color and a woman and all to be Santa. Let me tell you why Santa's white, because it's from European traditions that created him.
Of course.
Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah, why wouldn't he be? He's up in the North Pole. He's an African, right? But she's an elf in this one, I think, right? Which is that a euphemism for
yeah, something? I mean, I don't understand that, because elves work.
Right. That's true. Yeah, they're...
So they can't be Jewish.
They're Santa's slaves, essentially, right? Did you? By the way, did you ever see...
Yeah, that would be the other way around, owning slaves, make them do stuff. I mean...
Did you ever see
if anybody makes Christmas happen, it's probably the Chinese. That's who's making all the stuff, all the toys and things.
That is about to end with Evergrande and a bunch of other stuff right now. So we'll see how that goes.
The higher end toys, that's all Japanese. So if you're getting video games or a car or a camera, that's probably from Japan.
From Japan, yeah. Well, it's actually a good thing that the Chinese hegemony on production is about to be hopefully go down the toilet.
They're getting slammed. It's all moving to Southeast Asia and other areas.
It's like India is going to take over a lot, and Southeast
Vietnam,
Asia,
maybe Vietnam, Taiwan,
yeah, Taiwan, yep. Philippines, things like that. All right, so I think that's
places that actually pay people.
Right, exactly. Anything else you want to talk about when it comes to the how? Yeah, I wanted to ask you this too. By the way, how is the general Christmas spirit in Japan, Nippon?
Yeah, Nippon does it a little bit differently. Obviously, they kind of, all the holidays from outside of Asia, they sort of butcher. But it's neat. Christmas is more like Valentine's Day is in the U.S. It's sort of a day for couples. And they do illuminations. So the city's actually paid to put Christmas lights all, like, on giant trees and boats and decorate a section of the city and make it super Christmassy. But it's not really for kids getting presents and stuff. It's more like for adults to go see the viewing and have a nice, couples day together.
Right.
So it's sort of like Valentine's Day. And then they do have like turkeys, like the Christmas turkeys, kind of like Valentine's Day and Thanksgiving without Santa Claus.
Interesting. Is it majority?
That. They don't really do the Jesus was born or any of that.
No, I can imagine. But, I mean, it is generally, it's majority Buddhist, right? Is that what it is?
It's majority atheist, but of the religious theory would be Buddhist. But they really, when you really look at it, they just kind of, they just take the customs from different things. So when you're born, you're Shinto. When you die, you're Buddhist. If you get married, you're a Christian, because they like the kind of white wedding dress, like theatrics of the Christian wedding. Mm-hmm. And they do the Buddhist funeral with the passing the bones and cremation and things. And they have a sort of like, I don't know what you'd have when you're born, a baptism or something, but that's all Shinto. But they don't really believe it. They just sort of go through the traditions, kind of like happy birthday. You don't really think you're making a wish when you blow out the candles and stuff, but you just have a cake, you have candles. Because that goes back to ancient Greece with the Temple of Bast. The circle cake is actually a full moon, and they would count your months. That's where we get Monday and month from also. Mm-hmm. And so the candles was to illuminate the moon. And no one remembers any of that. They just know you have a circle cake with candles and you sing happy birthday or whatever. So it's sort of a secular holiday. And that's how they treat Christmas and Halloween and stuff. It's just sort of fun traditions around the world. And
right. Interesting.
They kind of know. I mean, they have Santa Claus and reindeer and stuff in stores, like, as just part of the decorations.
But it's just the Western influence.
The giving the presents.
It's just the Western influence. Because it was quite a bit of proselytizing, right? Christian missionaries and so forth, right, in Japan for a while at least.
Yeah, you know, it never really worked in Japan. Like, they had some success in South Korea, and I think they dumped a lot more effort in there because they felt like Christianity would act as extra protection against communism from the North. Because part of the fear is communism's anti-religious. But in Japan, it never really settled. What finally got it going was one of the emperors was born December 23rd. And so they already have like a celebration for him, which lets them out of school. And then they went ahead and added Christmas Eve and Christmas. Until this year, they didn't get off for the emperor's birthday because we have a new one, and not because Corona, and they missed school back in 2020 and stuff, and they're still making up for it.
Okay. And there was one, was it that abdicated to marry a commoner, right? That wasn't that recently?
Yeah, and well, like, usually you're emperor until you die, and the previous emperor to the one we have now just abdicated, and it doesn't matter why, but usually you can't do that. Like, you have to die. He's like, I'm old, you know, let somebody else do this. It's a sort of a ceremonial role, they say, but it isn't really, because probably 40% or so of Japanese people still listen to every word the emperor says.
Yeah.
And does. And it's like, you gotta, even the state is like, we'll pass something, then they gotta get him to reiterate it, or no one will listen. Nice. They drive, especially in Osaka, they drive around in black vans to sing songs to the emperor and all. They, you know, that never died.
That's good. Yeah. Well, I don't mind some. Yeah, exactly. They should revive some of that. Good stuff. All right. So, Ryan, let's get into the serious business here then. Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein. Actually, last time you were on the show, that was when she was arrested. It was like back in 2020, something like that.
You know, this is actually perfect because you know when her birthday is?
No.
On Christmas Day.
There you go. 25th of December. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. She's going to spend Christmas and her birthday in
like
prison.
A savior, right? Wow. Okay. So basically,
probably the best and worst Jew were born on the same day.
Exactly. So I thought that she wouldn't survive. I mean, I didn't think she would make it to the trial, frankly, that something would come up or something like that. And I know they tried to get her out, what her family had lobbied to the United Nations recently and saying, well, she's being treated unfairly and, you know, please take her out of there and stuff like that. But they're moving ahead.
Five times. They offered over $26 million and the state said, nah, she's staying here.
Really?
So, I mean, you tried to get out on bail, but she's definitely a flight risk.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Of course. Yeah.
She's got all friends in high places, and, you know, she's connected a lot of billionaires. She moved from one sugar daddy to another.
Yeah.
So she's not getting out of jail. And I also think a lot of the reason is there was so much public pressure over Epstein's homicide, that it would look really bad if she just up and died, or if she made bail. Like, I think that would actually break all faith in the system, even from the plebs.
Yeah, they would be going too far. That's why I think the strategy right now is to have it partially kind of begin to weave in the Me Too narrative and say that she's kind of actually a victim, right? Some media has kind of floated this a little bit. Some people that seems to be connected to the Epstein sphere, the people that are in the black flight log book and so forth have, you know, been very, oh, well, this is, you know, all this conspiracies about pedophilia and stuff like that, you know, they try to cover it up. But just comparing, and this is an obvious point here, but comparing the media coverage that we got during the Kyle Rittenhouse case versus what we're getting from the Ghislaine Maxwell case is the obvious glaring, just like frustrating aspect here, you know.
That it's so stupid because Kyle Rittenhouse is really, I mean, sorry, but he's nobody. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. And there had the president of the United States call him a white supremacist, which he isn't. Even if he was, it's still self-defense. It's all on tape. You know, it doesn't matter what his opinions on race or whatever are.
Well, but Ryan, he crossed state lines, okay?
I know. That's the worst thing about that tornado the other day. It crossed five state lines.
It sure did. Yeah, exactly.
How did that? Right. So what? First of all, he didn't cross state lines with a gun. and crossing state lines is not illegal. Like, a lot of people that live on the border of a state cross that line
it's
all
like
the time.
It's like 30 minutes away from, like, you know, between Illinois and Wisconsin. Like, 30 minutes.
You know, all people in Jersey there. City that work in New York.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They're floating the – I guess they were trying to push that to make it a federal crime. Is that why they did that, right?
It's just dumb ideas get exacerbated on Twitter because you're not allowed to oppose them. So whatever some idiot leftist says, it'll get megaphoned and repeated over and over again. And there's no one there to say no. Like, if you said Rittenhouse did nothing wrong, you lost your Twitter account.
Yeah.
Turns out court and jury decided he didn't do anything wrong. But Twitter decided no. So it doesn't matter how ridiculous an idea is, like saying men can get pregnant and, you know, the clown stuff that's out there. Those kind of utterly preposterous ideas have a breath of life in them because no one's allowed to disagree. And it doesn't matter how stupid it is. If that's the only thing you're allowed to say on social media, then that's the only thing you're going to hear.
Yeah.
So that's that kind of that Soros effect, you know. And this has worked very well for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict or something. Most people think that the Israelis are dodging rockets every day from evil Hamas, and you know, because that's the only bullshit you're allowed to say. You're not allowed to tell the truth on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter.
Nope.
Or Instagram.
Nope. That's how they have homogenized the message, and we know that. Luckily, we have all tech platforms, and it's getting wider and wider. More people are kicked off. The Twitter purges. That was a while ago, right? You lost your Twitter account?
I keep losing Twitter accounts.
Okay,
I lost a big one.
Okay, yeah.
From Black Lives Matter, got pissed at me because I told them not to loot. Actually, I was talking to Antifa, but they conflate to do things. And they had this big rally here in Japan. I'm like, why are you having a Black Lives Matter rally in Japan over some, like, Kurdish guy that they said got beat up by police? He totally did. And it was just some fucking pussy that was, like, locking his legs and being a dick and, like, wouldn't walk to where he was supposed to go. So they dragged him. Like, they didn't hit him or anything like that. These people just wanted a virtue signal. And so I was like, I'm going to go ham if I see anybody breaking windows and looting stores, because that's what had been happening all over the U.S. is why I said that.
Yeah, right.
And people talk so much shit to me on Twitter saying they're going to beat me up, kill me, and all this crap. And Naomi Osaka, a black Japanese tennis player, like, retweeted it and condemned me and stuff. And I'm like, you're not going to do anything. So I went, because I was like, I'm against police abuse and I'm against racism. But I don't see this George Floyd thing as being about race. Y'all just made it about race. No evidence about that. And it's just some cops, not some pandemic of police beating people for nothing. He had some guy who was high out of his mind that was about to drive a car that had a panic attack and a drug overdose as somebody sat on him for too long. But that, you know, really extra stupid to get mad about that in Japan. Ain't Japanese police didn't do anything.
Right.
And so anyway, they got all mad at me for being logical. And so I was like, why are you attacking Confederate monuments because of George Floyd? Like, there's no relationship. So I went to the rally wearing Confederate flag everything, and nobody did shit. And I filmed them and laughed at them and stuff. And then they kicked me off Twitter for bullying them because they all got exposed. Like, I walked right in the middle of the speakers and all that with the stars and bars and a big fucking flag and stuff. And I was like, why are you attacking our monuments? Nobody had the balls in real life to do a damn thing. I'm like, this isn't online, is it? Yeah, this is real life. You're not going to do anything. Y'all threatening me? Y'all, this most decrepit bunch of soy boy pussies you can imagine, too.
Where was this again?
It was in the middle of Osaka City.
Okay, it was in Japan. Okay, some rally. Okay,
it was almost all foreigners, and they're like Japanese girlfriends and stuff. I mean, there's maybe 3,000 people there. Something like that. And a lot of the Japanese people looking at it didn't even know what it was or why. What are you bitching about? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I did the Seoul counter protest and streamed it live.
Nice.
And I actually went there with my H.K. Egerton Confederate flag shirt. H.K. Egerton was the president of the NAACP of North Carolina. He's a black guy and a pro-Confederate, pro-Southerner.
I think I remember that guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's still around. And, you know, they didn't understand that. I was like, look, man, these statues are about veterans and about Southern heritage. It doesn't have anything to do with some Yankee cop standing, you know, abusing a black guy in Minnesota or whatever.
Yeah.
But they just wanted to come. They bus people in, and they burned the flag of Stonewall Jackson. They broke into a museum. Aldous put it in a museum. It was in a museum. Mm-hmm. They went to the museum and burned his flag. Priceless. The flag of Stonewall Jackson is behind me, by the way. Right there.
Yep,
I got to move my head, baby. I got an Epstein map behind me, too.
I see that. Great. We'll need to talk more about that here in a bit, but yeah.
So that's why they deleted my Twitter, because I bullied 3,000 people by myself, right?
Of course.
Look at this. I'm going to kill you. We're going to beat you black and blue, blah, 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 blah. Thousands of people threatening violence to me. None of them lost their accounts.
You're on the target list. That's about to get a lot worse with the new policy and all that. You saw that, the new CEO taking over, and you know, anybody for what? I mean, it's going to be like this is going to be hitting the people that are like exposing people or dragging something out, filming someone. You know, like, even like the pedo hunters type clips stuff like that.
Twitter is trash.
It is absolute trash.
What's hilarious about that whole thing though is like, I was talking about police abuse and race relations, like the real kind, before Black Lives Matter existed, before any of this crap happened. I've talked about the murder of Ayanna Jones, the cops broke into the wrong house and killed an innocent 7-year-old black girl while she was asleep, and real cases, not George Floyd. Fuck George Floyd. He's a fucking career criminal, pulled a pistol on a pregnant woman, blah, blah, blah. But there are cases you can point to. Of any race, right?
Yeah, look at the
trying to monopolize it is retarded.
I forgot the guy's name, but he was mentally like retarded is not anymore the nice word to say. But do you remember that kid?
Liberal.
Say it again.
Mentally retarded? You mean a Democrat?
I'm not sure what it was. No, but it was like literally murdered by the cops. Maybe chat remembers. It was a white kid.
Kelly. Yeah.
What was his name?
Thomas Kelly, I believe.
Thomas Kelly. Kelly. Yeah, Tom. I thought it was Tom something. Thomas something maybe, but yeah.
Thomas Kelly.
Tony Timpa. That's right. Thank you.
Tim.
Violence wins debates. Thank you for that. Tony Timpa was the name of the guy. Yep.
Was another guy.
I'm sure there was. There are.
Something. I think it was Thomas Kelly. Somebody Google that or whatever.
Yeah.
Who he was calling out for his father as these cops just choked him and pepper sprayed him until he died.
Kelly Thomas, someone says here.
Kelly Andrew. Thomas. So I said Thomas Andrew. Kelly. Okay, yep. Kelly Thomas. Yep. And then there's a lot of them on film, right? Schaefer, I believe, killed in a hallway. There was some 17-year-old on his way back from church that they tasered him over nothing and then shot him. Officer Frost was the pig's name. But those stories don't get on television. If it happens to a black person, it will. If it happens to anyone else, it will.
Everything,
not.
And you know this, Ryan, but everything needs to pivot towards hating on Whitey, right? And mm-hmm. fuck Whitey. It's his fault. That's the problem and all these things. And as you said early on, like, these are now the things that leads to the Waukesha anti-white terrorist attack and stuff. Like, you have real people being brainwashed and programmed by the media out there, the mainstream media, thinking that Whitey is the big boogeyman and that's the big problem.
They acted like the judicial system failed because Rittenhouse was acquitted. And there's still people that think he was an active shooter that ran around shooting black people.
They do, yes. I've saw it. We have several screens. Like the Independent over in the UK says that he shot three
Fox?
Black people. You know?
Yeah, was it Fox News? I'm sure like, they did, yeah. There are no black people. He shot a bunch of white people. They're all white.
Yeah, exactly.
Joseph Rosenbaum was white.
Oh, man. Yeah, it is
it
funny.
It is something that is like, oh, you're what percent of the population? And you had four felons, all of them involved with like –
pedophilia.
Serial child rape.
Yeah, I know,
punching
right.
your grandmother in the face and things like that, breaking in Enron, choking your girlfriend, and all Jews. They're all white when they commit a crime.
Exactly. Someone did point that out. Well, someone said that
it's like a lot of the school shooters.
It's true. One of the why the media went so hard after him was that implicit knowledge that like he was out there and he was just, I mean, obviously he wasn't targeting Jews, but the fact is, yeah, he shot Jewish people, but not because they were Jewish, because
they
were dumb and chased him
they
down.
They attacked him. That's why.
Of course. Right. But I'm saying like, this became an issue, I think, for some people in the media, the Smurfs in the media who were like, we got to take this guy down. You don't do this. You don't attack us in that way. You know, that's what I think happened.
And they failed. But the fact that a serial child rape, Rosenbaum had like 11 counts of molestation. He raped a pair of 5-year-old twins.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Rittenhouse did the world a favor. And he was actually dating a single mother, which is what how he would do it. He'd date single moms and then attack their children. Oh, he was doing that with Wisconsin.
Didn't he, like, and literally so, came out of a mental institution, like, the day before the evening before?
Yeah, he was
something
off his meds out of a mental hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a raging, manlet, ginger Jew, child rapist, like, every checkbox of things I hate. He was basically everything bad other than not being Lincoln himself.
Oy vey, as we say. Okay. Horrible. So, so the comparison there with the Kyle Rittenhouse case, absurd, of course, right? But very little coverage. Yes, there is some coverage, but again, why not cameras in there? Why the Charlottesville trial had a phone number you could call into here. I believe do you know how many journalists are actually like sitting in on this thing? I still haven't gotten a straight answer on that. What do we have?
I've got one down there.
You have
got a guy. I mean, he's independent, but we kind of work together sometimes. I met him. I'm in a book he wrote and stuff, and he's, you know, 20 something years old, and he's been there. He got into it with Vicky Ward. She threatened to sue him. And he's covering it, standing in line. But like, what all these like three-letter networks do is they pay someone to stand there before the journalist pool at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And then they go swap places with them after they get done from Starbucks at 8 a.m. or whatever. So it's hard to get in there first and everything. But we do have people down there covering it. And he said a lot of people there recognized him from being on my show and know I've been covering this for 14 years. So
yeah,
they, you know, it sucks because when he got rearrested, I put this map video out on YouTube and stuff, and then I immediately got 2 strikes. And so I had 90 days where I couldn't post at all. And I had to like put all my videos on private because if I got a third one, I'd lose it. And, a lot of people plagiarized me at that time. But then the day Glenn got arrested, they ovened my Patreon.
Of course.
And then she's been arrested. She's on trial again. They got rid of my YouTube again. You know, it's, they know who to shut up and who to silence.
And follow the
silence. A lot of these Johnny, they really don't know the breadth of the story. They know about the sexual stuff, but they don't know. They're like, he's probably intelligence. Like, no, he's definitely intelligence. It is Israeli intelligence. That is a fact.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, he's given millions of dollars to the prime minister of Israel, Ehud Barak. Mm-hmm. Maxwell's family worked for Israeli intelligence, scammed people out of pension funds and stuff, moved money over $7.6 billion out of a trust they defrauded on behalf of Israel. That actually got prosecuted last year, but you didn't hear that story, right?
What was who was the main man in that case? Do you have a name?
Well, Ian Maxwell, her brother, was involved in it, and the main person, it was Richard Wigley or something.
Was that the insurance scam or something like that? It was like his huge insurance scam run by like Israelis, and they fled to Israel. I forget what his name was. That's why I was asking.
Oh, that's it. No. That's another one.
Yeah, there are multiple. I know. What you're talking about. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
That's
different. Yeah,
that's a guy who actually fled a New Yorker that fled to Israel and took over someone's house.
Right.
And he had a massive insurance scam, and he basically fled. No, this is way bigger than that. This is they did like 11 different things. They were creating fake loans. They had false bankruptcy files, debt circles. Classic Ponzi scheme of lying to investors and spending their money on something else and then trying to get new investors to pay for the first and all that kind of stuff. And, it was like several different trusts they were defrauding people out of. It's complex, the methods they used, but they, you know, it was on behalf of the Israeli state, $7.6 billion. That's like 2 years of US aid almost. You know?
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, and the Maxwells were involved, but it's so much more than that. I mean, Les Wexner gave them the house. Wexner starts the Wexner Heritage Foundation with a rabbi on behalf of the Zionists to help move guns for Haganah. I mean, that's how the Israeli state was formed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, Les Wexner is older than the Israeli state.
Holy shit. I didn't think about that.
A lot of these people, the Bronfmans and Wexner and Michael Steinhardt and stuff, they are older than the existence of Israel.
A lot of those, you know, I think it's Steinhardt, definitely Bronfman and stuff. Many of those, they're also behind the, I looked into the other day because it was as clear, you know, what would you call like frustrating double standard with a couple of Jewish women attacking, you know, white European mothers or whatever. But like, Birthright Israel is one of these huge things that they have running, right? Tons of money into that, just to basically, it's like a Jewish breeding program. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
it's like,
who started Birthright Israel?
Yeah, it was Shel Nadelson, right? Wasn't that? Well, he's the he was one of the main financiers behind it. But
yeah, but the founders of that,
was it Wexner?
This is why you should get this map, because it's all up in here. So this is behind me. But you can go on down. By the way, Edgar Bronfman worked with Jeffrey Epstein for the corporate takeover of Joe Saint's Minerals for Bear Stearns. So there's another Bronfman connection. And then, of course, Claire and Sarah got in trouble for the Nexium cult, which they almost solo financed, right? Over $100 million or so just came from the Bronfman family. And that's another case where they're raping young women and branding them.
Yeah.
Branding like you brand a cow, like, or, you know, hot iron type of thing.
Right. Yeah.
Your Birthright Israel, is coming from the same mega group people. Right. And so you got in tandem, with your Steinhardts and your, Charles Bronfman, another one, he's the president of the Jewish World Congress too, by the way. These people, create all these different foundations and groups for the Israeli state. They call themselves the mega donors.
Yep.
Les Wexner is sort of the point man of finance for Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein is on he's a trustee of the Wexner Foundation. He was also the vice chairman of some bullshit organization. It escapes me right now, but it was involved in the Shapiro murder in 1997. A couple of Wexner's, lawyers mysteriously died, one in 95, one in 97. And you can see, I've gone and found the files where Jeffrey Epstein is always listed in some no-show job for Les Wexner. It's the way he was really getting, oh, look, there's Alan Dershowitz. What a creep.
What a wonderful man.
I kept my underwear on. I cannot imagine the fucking horror that was Cernovich and Dershowitz.
Oh, this is great.
Gross.
Yep, yeah. It's very gross.
Cernovich tried to sue to get information that Dershowitz wasn't able to get. He wanted to know what Virginia has.
Yeah, I know.
So isn't he can claim whether or not she can prove it or not.
Yeah.
He knows it's true, but he's like, but does she have the evidence for it or not? I need to know. We're like, well, you should already know if you're innocent that she doesn't have anything, but you know you're not innocent. So you want to know what all evidence she has.
Exactly. Yeah, no, there's Wexner. Wexner, right?
So he just stepped down from a position right when Glenn went to trial. Right.
Interesting. Yeah. So this is from July. He sold the majority stake in Victoria's Secret. Mm-hmm. Remember, that's one of the funnels. I mean, there was other model agencies too, right? And it's the French guy, Luc Bernet or
Jean-Luc Brunel. Yeah.
Brunel.
I think that ended up being $1.5 billion, but whatever. The title's wrong.
Yeah. But that's one of the ways they were funneling all these girls and, women at first, right? And then he just gets younger and younger and all these, like, you know, models and stuff. So they can have their little ice wide shut parties that get videotaped with all the politicians and business leaders, and look at Epstein's ties to all the science people, right? The university people, like this weird transhumanist shit that he was into. And like
Abigail Wexner is involved in that as well with Les's younger wife. That's I've gone over that story. But what you're saying about Victoria's Secret, he would use that sort of as prestige for MC Squared, which started as Karen Models. But MC Squared, it was just Brunel's outfit. It starts in Tel Aviv, right?
Of course.
And then they open an office in France, I think Paris, and then Miami and New York. And he would tell, they would model for all of the L brands, and they would need children's models for the children's clothing. And you can kind of see that in Wexner's stores, these weird, like, black and white photos of scantily clad young really? Girls. It's kind of creepy.
It's all artsy, right? Oh, it's what a wonderful art.
It's in black and white, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Isn't that so? Just if you do it in black and white, you can have any degenerate shit and just call it art. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, just make a black and white photo and call it art. But they would get these girls and say, you know, you start here and you can work you can become a Victoria's Secret model. Right.
Yeah.
They could hold. That was sort of, for whatever reason, the very well branded as the top, you know, top place, the model, the sexiest model, whatever, is Victoria's Secret. Not anymore. it's associated with Lexer and
Epstein. I know, but it's all out now, but yeah.
It's just crazy. I actually dated a girl that quit Victoria's Secret because of the sketchiness of it. She went on to become an international go model, moved to France. But Whitney Ray Miller, that was her name.
Yeah.
she had some stories for me.
I'm sure she does. Yeah,
they would get them over, though. They'd get them from, like, Ukraine and places like this because they want foreign capital. Goes a long way in Eastern Europe at the time period, especially in early 90s with the collapse of the Soviet Union. And so they'd get them, and they'd just take their passports away and force them into forced prostitution, essentially. But it's not really prostitution. It's rape, rape for payment, which then goes to your handlers. And there's nothing they could do about it. I mean, they can barely speak the language. They're stuck. Yeah. They get forced into giving massages and stuff for Epstein and all his buddies. And they'd come over to Palm Beach or to his island, and they would have these. They'd house them. Actually, Mark Epstein's, which is Epstein's brother, the real estate agent in New York, procured a lot of the property where it would house all these young women, supposedly for modeling, which would explain like how they're paying their rent and everything. Right next door or adjacent to Jeffrey Epstein, and he'd just have them in and out, a little stovepipe. But the guy that was bringing the European girls, and by the way, it was only European girls.
Girls all constantly, like it's Russian girls, Russian women, Slavic women. They love that.
Slavic and Russian women, mostly. Yeah. A few girls from Thailand or something, because they're already an established prostitution ring there too. But
yes, yeah.
No blacks. They talked very poorly about black people. You should hear some of the. They didn't like anyone that wasn't a Jew was not a human to these people.
Yeah, I have the clip. Let's play it with Maria Farmer talking about it. As a reminder for people, let me cue it up here. This is the one. Yeah, I added in a little thing at the end there. I'm not sure if you saw that, but listen to this, guys. I'm sure you guys have seen it, but worth playing again. Listen to this here.
But I lost 20 pounds because I wasn't allowed to go get food. And when I called Gilan and asked why I couldn't eat there, she said, "It's a Jewish country club. You're not Jewish. They're not going to serve you." This is how this woman spoke to me. Yeah, this is how these people think, Whitney. They, honest to God, think their DNA is better than everybody else's. I swear to you. It was a theme all the time with them. With Eileen Guggenheim, with, Jeffrey Epstein, with Gilan. It was a theme. You know, Jeffrey was a lot less horrible than Gilan as far as a human being, like just being around, because she was raping just as many children.
So the country club, you weren't allowed to go because it was only for, people of a certain religion and ethnicity. Okay, so that's unfortunate. Wow.
I mean, they could cut you down, and it was so morally devastating. Like, you know, like you just felt useless as a human being when you were told you're nothing because you're not Jewish, you're stupid, you're useless, a useless white girl, a poor little peasant. You know, I mean, just the things that I was called, I was just like, I believed it, you know, because it was like a cult, the problem. Yeah, you wouldn't believe the way Jeffrey and Gilan spoke about African Americans. It was like, it made my skin crawl. Anybody who was not Jewish, and you're right about this, but the way they spoke about them, it was really horrifying. And it showed me a great deal about how these people truly believe that they're chosen to do something here. I don't know. It's unbelievable.
That clip is great.
I mean, and it was every one of them, the way they spoke. And one time I heard Isabel say to her mother, Eileen, "Mommy, why do you call Maria a nobody?" And she said, "Honey, Isabel, Maria is not a Jew. She is a nobody."
Well, you know, it is worth pointing.
So you can see why for about 20 years.
Well, that type of stuff I might actually include just because the Maxwell family has
you
tied
should include
to this group
it. You should include it.
What's it called? Chabad Lubavitch. And group openly talks about how only Jews are human and the rest of human beings are like cattle, basically.
Is that a German Shepherd?
Yes, it is. All right, I have a little clip after that. But yeah, there we go. It's almost like they're supremacists or something. How about that?
Yeah, they thought of all those girls as trash. But Epstein's his little proclivities were for young, thin, white girls of the ballerina look.
Right.
He didn't want them too developed or whatever. He liked to.
So almost boyish in a way. That's what you're saying.
Thin and just reaching maturity or whatever. That was his fetish or whatever.
Yeah.
Peter Nygaard was very different. Peter Nygaard,
I was just
most
thinking
of
about
the women
him.
He raped were black bohemians.
He had white women too, but I was
he did.
Just
he
thinking about him because there's another interesting aspect to the. All of these guys were obsessed with like aging and science and weird science experiments and stuff. And I actually have a clip. I'll see if I can find it. It's Peter Nygaard, right? And there was like, papers out of Canada writing about this, like how he loved feces fetish and all this weird, like disgusting shit. Like he paid women to like poop on him and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a scatterist.
Exactly. And he was
maybe
like,
he should move to San Francisco.
Yeah, there's plenty to go around there. I know. He was taken to prison now. And then he's like aging like rapidly, kind of like Ghislaine, I guess, in a way. Like they look horrible. They're in there like a few months, a year or something, and they're just like they're falling apart, you know?
Peter Nygaard was on human growth hormones and TRT and slew of drugs. He was a pharmacy, basically. So that'll, I guess, make you look like you're not older, but internally you're falling apart. They go overgrow your heart and all this. But don't do these drugs, people. I'm just saying. But he would take all this stuff to look younger. And, you know, now he's graying and balding. And, you know, I imagine the stress of jail. Like, imagine being a billionaire that can do whatever you want, and then you're stuck in a room all day. Like, that's got to be – you or I could handle jail a lot better than a billionaire who is not used to being confined like that.
But yeah.
A lot of it is also all the drugs they're taking. Peter Nygaard is 80 years old.
Right, exactly.
So now he's starting to look like an 80-year-old. But
stem cells, and then he did. And the clip cells, I'm looking for, he had this weird thing, and I'm thinking of Epstein. Remember, he wanted to see. I mean, it was kind of weirdly phrased, but you know, seed humanity. He wanted basically his sperm and all these women and stuff. But he was into transhumanism, and this is one of the reasons why he befriended so many of these, like you know, scientists everywhere. You know, MIT.
He wanted his brain and penis frozen.
His egg penis. Yeah.
Glenn Maxwell told Virginia Roberts because Epstein wanted to impregnate her. That's part of the reason she ran away.
Yeah, I remember that.
You're so lucky. You get to have his baby.
Oh, my God. Yay. Well, how lucky you are. Aren't you lucky?
That's why, you know, when they're pounding around with the queen because they're seen out in front of her property and Prince Andrew.
Yeah,
and stuff.
That's right.
You know, the royal family's all into the eugenics crap too. They used to like breed dogs and foxes and all this weird stuff, but like they think like they're superior stock, right? And they, you know, you got to have our genetics and whatnot.
Yeah. But what's that? Moro, I forget what the place, the cabin was. I mean, you're well in. If you're hanging out, we saw the photos, you showed them in one of the previous shows here, but like if you're hanging out at like the queen's log cabin that she goes to, you know, even if it's just once a year or whatever, like you're not just some nobody, like you don't get access to that, you know what I mean? You're like, you're well in, you're tied in. Remember the other people too that were listed on in the flag logs, the black book and stuff, people like Kevin Spacey sitting on the throne of the queen. Mm-hmm. Remember that little selfie and stuff, right? I mean, I don't think that like the
they
queen
got that access through Andrew because he went to college with Glenn Maxwell and they were sleeping with each other, and so she had him by the short hairs because they were providing young girls. He went and visited Nygaard and Epstein. And so Prince Andrew is the Kevin Bacon of pedophiles,
right? The Kevin, but that's funny. What's the link between Nygaard is just another node point in the same network, and he's also one who provides girl and women. How does he tie it into?
Well, I mean, one of the overlaps is Andrew visits both, right?
Okay.
Because part of this case is also against Prince Andrew. He's being sued right now by Virginia Roberts, but we know that he was visiting Nygaard properties. And like, why are you going to hang out with some 80-year-old dude in the Bahamas? He actually cut short his own vacation with his family. Like a 6-day outing or whatever. He spent 3 days in the Bahamas with Nygaard. Like, what's he doing up there? Drinking tea with the guy? Like, you know what he's doing. Look behind him.
Yeah, that's the women that's shitting on him.
That's what they're targeting.
Yep. I know he has. He was after white women and stuff like that too. But yeah, he has a fetish. This guy. And the reporter is like, "You look so great in this."
The only thing is, oh, Epstein didn't care if you took the black girls because he's not into them. So you get the leftovers,
right.
Dude.
No, of course, exactly. No. They want a little rain. This is like hors d'oeuvres for them or whatever. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, look at this little range here of different, you know. That they have, but yeah, no,
Nygaard got sued by James Bond.
Which one of them?
The best James Bond, yes. The Sean Scottish Connery. James Bond.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery had property dispute with this other billionaire. His last name is Bacon. He's from North Carolina. He had a like Hatfield McCoy level feud in the Bahamas with Peter Nygaard. This is how you know. Like, you ever seen Trailer Park Boys? Out of Canada.
I actually have not, no.
Oh, I'm kind of a redneck, so I enjoy that kind of shit. But like, it's just like Trailer Park Boys of billionaires, right?
Petty
stupid
issues.
Crap.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
The other one put speakers on it and played them real loud directed at the guy and just stupid stuff back and forth. And eventually there was a fire, and Nygaard blamed Mr. Bacon. Like, he must have set it on fire because we're having this feud. But there was Nygaard had torn up like something, but I think it was for endangered species or something, and Sean Connery sued him over his development. Yeah, and unfortunately, Sean Connery passed away like before it concluded or whatever. But yeah, he's out there in the Bahamas fighting with Sean Connery. And
that's awesome.
Was it Lloyd Bacon? I forget his first name, but whatever. He's some other guy. He's from the Carolinas, and he moved down there. And they act just like immature kids, you know, the stupid stuff they're doing. Funny
to
read about. But
everything they're like, these people can get essentially anything they want, right? So then if there's no aspirations for higher or bigger things, it becomes about the petty little weird things and a little, you know. Yeah,
they're
I can't
just insist that somebody doesn't yield to their will, right? Yeah. Oh, you can't do that. Like, oh, there's another billionaire. I mean, they're carving up most of that of the island was those two men, right? Nygaard's properties are massive. He's a Canadian. They came down there and bought a big chunk of the Bahamas. So he didn't have his own island.
Nygaard's from Finland initially, but I think he emigrated to Canada, but he's from Finland, I think.
His family's from Finland. Yeah. Maybe he was born.
Finland, but they came over, I think. But yeah,
he made his fortune in Canada anyway. And that's where they arrested him. Then he got extradited.
That's right.
But he's wanted in the U.S. and Canada and the Bahamas. He would just no show up in prison in the Bahamas. Yeah. He's like, "What are you going to do? I'm rich."
Right? Of course, exactly. I can do whatever I want.
You can go to jail and people can continue to actually shit on you if that's what you're into.
he should be able to technically get all those experiences in jail, though, right? It's got to be someone who can. They want to.
Sure, somebody provide him with that.
holy shit. So unravel that a little more. Unravel the Gordian knot for us a little bit, and then we can start kind of getting into the trial, what you've observed so far from it. What are we going to get out of this at the end?
The other overlap was the modeling agencies were providing to both men. U.S. Sorry. So.
Oh no. Go ahead.
Another crossover is MC Squared would. Because Nygaard has his own garment industry as well.
He does. That's
and
how
they were grabbing the same method and everything. Yeah. Yeah. And he knew Burnell and he knew Andrew and all these people. They would. It was almost like a circuit where they'd swap girls for their clients, their little billionaire buddies and stuff. And we're talking for in Epstein and Maxwell's case, Bill Clinton, who she was sleeping with, Tony Blair. Right, the former prime minister of the United Kingdom.
Oh yeah, they're all
president. Actually, the current president of the United States when they were blackmailing him. Right.
Yep.
So they had him there at the White House West Wing in 1993.
Yep.
Right. Rubbing more than elbows with Hillary and Bill. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, classic picture there of all the. I was looking.
Oh, there they are.
The one with. I was looking for the one with Bill Gates.
That's right after they left Disney World.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, remember that there was a. They're trying to put that down now too. I mean, I know you saw those stories, right? But like the Atlantic piece, right? The great fake child sex epidemic.
And then, of course, who owns the Atlantic again?
This woman, Steve Jobs' widow, right? So yeah, I wonder what that's about. I wonder why they're trying to cover that up again.
She's sitting next to that's Glenn Maxwell.
Yep, that's right. Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, that's what I kept calling her, Ghislaine. They're like, is that how you pronounce her name? I know, no, it's Ghislaine, but I always call her Ghislaine. That's basically what she was.
That's what she was, exactly. And then, of course,
she's the idiot of a family of very intelligent people. And she could not do any of the tech stuff that they were doing for the Israelis. So she got put into the child procurement ring. At least she's good at being a sexual deviant. Doesn't take a lot of brains to do that.
No, and kind of on the, I mean, that's not being on the forefront, but in a way, she's a networker, right? Like out there making the connections, contacting all the girls and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, she had a skill in charm and being sociable. Like that's how she floated through life. Right?
Yeah,
that and family stolen money, but.
There was a story on The Cut about the sisters, and I've yet not gone into it in detail. I just haven't had the time. But there's the headline is Ghislaine Maxwell's twin sisters have their own wild stories. And I'm still not sure how they're, if anything, tied in. Do you know if they were doing work with their father?
Yeah, their sisters were very good friends with Elizabeth Johnson of the Johnson & Johnson fortune and vaccine. And of course, there's Bill and Melinda Gates visiting Epstein, Bill Gates anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of Microsoft employees, Peter Mervold and others, high-level technicians from Microsoft were fucking children in Palm Beach. And Bill Gates actually has in an email about a time he was in at the New York rape mansion when Ava Dubin and her daughter came over saying, oh, very attractive woman and her daughter. I ended up staying late in the night. Right, Bill.
He seems to have operated like that too. I mean, recently even came out. I know, right? And that's Larry Summers there. Isn't that Larry Summers?
That is.
Right there. Holy shit. Yeah, Larry Summers, big economic. I don't know who that guy is right there,
actually, right there. I have them all labeled. I'll grab you that photo in just a second.
Okay, good. Or send it on VK, or where are you sending that?
I will send it on VK.
Okay, yeah. I should be able to pull it up here.
Because
okay.
I want your audience to have the image. You know, these people are utterly disgusting. And did you see the Bill Gates interview where he's squirming all around in his chair?
He's dead now. He's dead now? That one?
Yeah, yeah. He's dead.
Incredible. Yeah, like, that was incredible. Let me see if I can find that.
Did you learn anything? Did you learn anything from this? Oh, well, you know, he's dead.
He's dead now. Basically, watch out. Like, if you cross us, we'll kill you. Let me see if I can find that clip. That was amazing. The amazing admission. It was basically admitting that I'm not saying he personally had a role in it, but that's almost what it looked like. You know what I mean? Let me see.
Oh, Bill Gates. He did have a role because he was donating money on behalf of Jeffrey Epstein to places like MIT. And this is a nice way of Jeffrey Epstein flexing his nuts because he's like, Bill Gates, richest man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it. I made him donate to you, right? Like that's his. Here, I'm going to send you this story on VK.
Yep.
That picture up? I'll tell you. It's Jess Staley's on the left, and then you've got Larry Summers or Lawrence Summers, Epstein, Bill Gates, and Boris Nikolic, which is who introduced Bill Gates to Epstein with another, I believe her name is Sarah London.
Are you sending it on VK, Ryan?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay, I think I can't see it yet, but yeah, send me
it's not there. I got to jump on and get in.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, no worries. Take your time. I was looking for that. Let me see if that. Yeah, here it is. Wait a minute. Let me see here. Let me see if this works. I'm actually not sure where I got this source. Let me see if this is the clip. Let's listen to this here. This could be something else, but let's see here.
Had several dinners with him, hoping that what he said about getting billions of philanthropy for global health
Shit, I'm getting a stutter on that. One second, let me do that on a different source. Holy shit. Yeah, someone remade that clip. That's why. Okay, let me see if I can copy that over. I'm having one of those computer issues here today, but it's fine. This is laid back. Not the end of the world. We'll find it. We'll pull it up. Let me see. There it is. Okay, let's try that one more time and see if we can hear the whole clip. Thank you, computer. Appreciate that. Here we go.
Had several dinners with him, you know, hoping that what he said about getting billions of philanthropy for global health through contacts that he had might emerge. You know, when it looked like that wasn't a real thing, that relationship ended. But it was a huge mistake to spend time with him, to give him the credibility of, you know, being there. There were lots of others in that same situation, but I made a mistake.
There we go, there it is. Yeah, well, he's dead now. They actually didn't include that part, but that's...
Sometimes you gotta say God bless the internet with this shit.
I know, it's fantastic. It's great. We love the internet.
So I always take these, this is something I do, I always take these photos and label everybody. For this is what I do on the map, too, so.
Oh, he's in Gates, you're unfamiliar Gates with his Foundation.
He was the biotech advisor, mm-hmm. and he's a biotech investor, and he used to advise Bill Gates. He worked for the Gates Foundation, and then later he was chosen to be the backup enforcer of Epstein's will. When he died.
Ah, okay.
But that's the guy that, you know, Epstein is like, you're going to afford. I believe Darren Endike ends up with it. Darren Endike's another piece of shit. He's not in that picture, but he's the one that set up intermediary bullshit LLCs as a way of Epstein laundering money and donating to police departments in order to bribe them to leave him alone.
Of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can do shit like that. It's they're all tied in. It's great for them.
I mean, they did shit like that.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm still clarify that for us. Why do you think such an important node point? I mean, I know the source down in Florida, the paper there, I forget, was it the Miami Herald or something that actually did really good work on this, right? And she kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And some people say it's actually thanks to her. And of course, Brown, Virginia Roberts. What was her name?
I think something Brown. But it was Miami Herald. Yeah, they did stick on it. And, you know, there were people online writing about it the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
I wrote about it. Tim Kelly, he does an Interesting Times podcast. We talked about it at length, like 2009 or something. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, especially about Dershowitz. That's been out a long time. Electronic Intifada has had that. And Dershowitz is writing pieces defending child porn. I think he wrote it in Penthouse magazine or something like that. That guy's been accused of kiddie fiddling, not only with the Epstein ring, but long time, and a lot of people have written about it, but there wasn't any really a paper or anything of record until the Miami Herald, and then later Vanity Fair did a fluff piece, but
right.
It was limiting it, and that's what they're doing with this trial. Is she's already guilty as hell and dead to rights, so they gotta throw her under the bus. But the deal is, we're gonna limit this to you, we're gonna limit this to conspiracy and trafficking. She's not even charged for rape. She also has a perjury charge to deal with after this. She's going to trial again. But nobody on this giant map, right? This map extends almost to the ground, by the way, is being prosecuted. They're not being brought up.
No, they're not being mentioned and stuff. Obviously, that's intentional. What was it again? The very lesbian Obama-appointed judge here, too. I forget his name or her name. Excuse me.
its
name
nowadays. You gotta say it, rather than you don't know what they identify as. Biology doesn't matter in the ideology. But yeah, there were now Sarah Kellen, which is another groomer. She was brought up indirectly because it's a Jane Doe, but they said she married a race car driver. Well, I mean, who else could that be? And then I believe Ava Dubin was pretty much indirectly brought up by being like, oh, former Miss Sweden, something like, you know, it's Ava Dubin.
Right.
It has to be, right?
Right.
So it's like their way of, all right, we're legally not allowed to flat out say it, but we're going to say it. And the same with all the Jane Doe victims. They've given enough clues as to exactly who all these people are. But mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to say anything that would create a mistrial, but I'm just saying it is not hard for Epstein researchers to go, that's this person, that's that person.
No, of course not.
But for the people watching, well, they're not watching. It's not on TV.
It's not.
People following it on, I don't know, YouTube or whatever. it's weird because all these people that didn't know who Epstein was till 2019 are now the only ones allowed to talk about it on YouTube. And all of us that have been doing this forever that know it inside and out don't have a presence.
Right. I know.
And they're just, all they talk about is Andrew Trump and Clinton.
Yeah, I know, exactly. To keep it to the, you know, the PR men in the front lines, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Clinton's got one foot in the grave. They hate Trump.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, here's the judge, by the way, too. What's its name again here? Let me see. Allison Nathan. Judge Allison Nathan. And there was something important that was thrown out, too. I forget what it was. I'm not sure how her actions have been. What do you know about the judge?
Oh, well, let's talk about the trial itself so far. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So it's been very strange because, first of all, they've limited what the jury can see as all the pornographic pictures and sex toys and all this equipment that they're using. They don't, it's too much of an emotional appeal. But I'm like, no, that's evidence, man. Like if you got a closet full of dildos and vibrators and stuff, I'm like, you obviously for women. And what's this guy doing with all these toys and school uniforms and this and that, you know, that would only fit a little girl, by the way. They did let them see the school uniforms. They would not let them see some of the other things that they've been using, including a dental chair, right?
But
what was
from the island,
really
yeah.
screwed up is the point, man. Let me rewind a little bit. Epstein's got multiple properties, right?
Yeah.
Right. They admit the one in New Mexico, Palm Beach, New York, Paris, and his island. He also has one in Ohio, but they don't ever mention that. The only one that really got raided was New York by Sergeant Dawson, Michael Dawson.
Mm-hmm. And that was way later too, I think.
They arrested him in the airport in Jersey, and then in a few days they raided it, but it took months for them to look at the other properties. So by the time they reached Paris was the last one, there was nothing there. Right.
Right.
We know they ordered industrial shredders and things to the island.
Exactly.
Like,
they did.
What do you
right?
think's yeah. going on down
Here's
there?
Here's
right?
they're shredding the Palm Beach mansion too. And again,
they destroyed it.
Did they get everything out of there? What are they? This feels like a cover up.
I mean the Palm Beach, that whole building's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they sold it and destroyed
they're tearing it.
That's
it down. Yep.
I think
yep.
I talked about last time I was on here, but
yep.
So people can watch that. But the New York's the only one where they like got into his safe.
Mm-hmm.
They find a passport to Austria with a Saudi Arabian address.
Multiple.
Oh no, he's not intelligence. Lots of people have fake passports to a different country with address to another country.
I know, right?
Absurd. Right. And they found CDs. That shows you how old and how long this has been going on. CDs mm-hmm. full of data. CDs full of pornography.
And the names. Remember all the names on them too. I forget what they were listed as. The most likely politicians and stuff, right? The famous.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and they're not allowed to see any of that.
Right.
They just heard about it.
Yeah.
But, okay, so Michael Dawson is testifying, and he's kind of going through, we saw this, we saw that, there's cameras and da 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 da. He brought out the green massage table and, like, put it in the court for them to see, like, this is where it went down, you know. He had a green helicopter, a green massage. He had a lot of green stuff. Anyway, he liked green and marble. Like grayish marble, it seemed to be his theme, whatever.
Yeah.
That's a Wexner thing, too, by the way. But, okay, on his last day that he's supposed to come in and talk about the boxes they found in one of the guest bedrooms, he doesn't come in. And Glenn Maxwell and her team and Comey, and we all know who she's the daughter of, decide, oh, we're going to say what we think he would have said. Is that even legal? But the defense and the prosecution agreed. We're not going to have him come and tell you the rest of it. We're going to say what we think he probably would have said. And they both said, okay. And that's it. So the cop, the sergeant is not, doesn't have, they didn't want to inconvenience him coming back to New York or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
This is a very important trial. You get his ass, I don't care where he is, and you have him finish what he needed to say.
Of course.
Yeah. And he wasn't far away anyway.
Yeah.
He was the excuse didn't make any sense. It's just like the passport excuse was, oh, he had a fake passport so he could safely travel around Europe. Like, why can't he safely travel around Europe? Because he's a Jew.
And that's
what, oh, Jews can't travel around Europe? What are you fucking talking about? That was
so
the excuse.
Dumb. Yeah. No, it's so
I mean, and I don't know if I can bring this person up. All right, I'll tell you later something about the passport.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the video where the dental chair. I mean, this is on the island too, right? The island of the. They have the dental chair there and stuff, and you look at it.
Yeah, they have one in Florida and one in the island, and I assume there must have been one in New York because they were speaking about it.
Oh, wait, it says Florida here in the title for the...
Yeah, Palm Beach.
Oh, I thought that this was from the island. Let me see here. Full-equipped dentist chair, close-up of young girls' backsides, and Teddy. And a Teddy by his bed. Creepy images and video from inside the mansion. I'm sorry, you guys can't see this. Here we go. Creepy images and video from inside the mansion of Clinton and Prince Andrew friend pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. At least they call him pedophile, not just a financier. They still refer to Ghislaine as a socialite. I said, like, she's
a spoiled brat.
Child sex trafficking pedophile, like, monster. Like, come on, you know?
She's a child, an international child trafficking serial pedophile.
Yeah. Here it is. This is totally, you know.
Why the fuck would you have a dental chair unless you're doing dental work?
If you find yourself in that, then you're in big trouble. Holy shit.
Yeah, well, he liked girls with braces, and he also wanted to fix people's teeth so they could look better so he could rape them.
What was that movie with, who was it? the torture in the dental chair? That's what it reminds me of.
No.
I forget what that was, that movie. Maybe someone in chat.
It was like a horror film about, I think it was just called The Dentist or something. But Glenn Jacob, a libertarian mayor of Knox County, who played a kind of Undertaker monster role in WWE, started his career as this giant evil dentist off that movie.
Whatever. Oh, man.
Yeah, there's some of the backsides and stuff. Yeah. Be careful scrolling through these for your... Rumble or whatever.
It should be fine. This is Daily Mail. I think they pixelated some stuff, so it should be okay. Should be okay. But yeah, so.
Yeah, I believe Clinton was on the wall in one of those.
Was he? Yeah.
I don't know if it's in Daily Mail.
There he is with the Pope. Remember the special meeting they got? Ghislaine and Eggstein with the.
They exchanged tips there.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. We have access to kids. So.
More into little boys.
Yes, exactly. That's how it goes. So far, trial. What's your sense of things? Where is this going? How deep is it going?
She'll be
to go?
Found guilty. I mean, she on all counts, I think. But the defense is going to say she's a victim because screaming in pain as they beat you, right? She probably believes that in her head. They're going to say, it was all Epstein. You're trying to punish me because you couldn't punish Epstein, so you're dumping it all on me. And these girls are just remembering things wrong, all four of them, right?
Right.
Of course, there'd be more, but they got immunity from Barry Kircher in the great, I don't know what to call it. I don't even have any sarcasm for it. The fucking fraud of what they did is giving all his cohorts immunity when he got arrested in 2007-08. Unbelievable. But that was the sweetheart deal, they like to call it. I'm like, it's not a sweetheart deal. This is crime. Yeah. This is straight up crime. Giving immunity to all your cohorts. Because they're all too important and too to punish.
Yep, that's right. Was it
it goes back to the Israeli state and they know it.
It was the Acosta guy that was overseeing that. I remember he had been told by somebody, he's intelligence, hands off. And I was like, well, why is no one in the media questioning him on this? Wait a minute, back up. Can you back up a second? Who said this to you? Was it the U.S. government? Was it the Israeli government?
You know which intelligence agency it is. The only one that the U.S. would protect is the Israelis.
Yeah, because they wouldn't care about their own country.
And Epstein's a... Smurf, and Maxwell's a Smurf, and Brunel's a Smurf, and everybody involved is a Smurf. Maybe the Smurf government did it. Derp. Oh, no, maybe it's CIA, MI6. Wait, shut the fuck up. It's Israel. Stupid. It is.
Yeah, I should be able to
Wexler's
find it.
Wexler's work with these people. I mean, they got, oh, my God, the mega group is how Israel was made. They stole nuclear weapons from the United States from Sunborn Institute, and these guys, Abba Hillel Silver, and all these little bastards. We're stealing guns, Hank Greenspun and Charlie Winter and all Zalman Shapiro, who met with Raphael Addington, who was the handler for Jonathan Pollard, the worst Israeli spy, followed by probably Robert Maxwell at number two.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And Wertheimer is a different guy, same first name though, but he was part of the, he's the richest man in Israel. He's on the board of governors for the Jewish Agency, which is the one who had the dancing Israelis sent to New York to document the event. The event they just knew was going to happen somehow.
Yeah, that was total luck of the draw.
He's the same billionaire that met with Bernard Carrick that August, like weeks before September 11th. The police commissioner of New York gave a $250,000 loan through an intermediary named Steve Witkoff, a Marvel dealer with the Gambino family. That it's just sick. It's fucking like I make maps and films and radio all about all this stuff, and you know they're just like, but my building 7, and I'm like, oh my god. Please get past, like, keep going forward past, you think the building fell too fast based on eyeballing it. We have all this information on September 11th, all this information about Jeffrey Epstein in Israel. We have all this information about the Iraq war in Israel, like the Office of Special Plans and all these lies that came from these fucking people. And now that's my oil, right? Like, it all gets reduced down to something silly. And if people are like, yeah, he's probably intelligence, and they just start listing all of them so that they'll definitely be right. Like, if you just say CIA, MI6, MI5, Mossad, Saudi, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, one of those. Come on.
Yeah.
This guy's working for Israel. He was spying on the United States Science and Technology. That was their job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
It's trade secrets for the Israeli state. Which they've done.
Here's the line, by the way.
Stuart Nozette is another one that was spying on behalf of IAI, the Israeli aerospace industries.
Right.
And Wexler and these guys are – it's so interwoven. It's like, how can you not see this once you know to look, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's not being covered, though. I mean, I'm glad you're covering it, but
– to a wider extent? No, it's not. But here, real quick, here's the line here, too. Regarding Alex Acosta, right? The U.S. attorney for Miami told interviewers in the Trump transition team that he was told to back off of Epstein at the time because Epstein, quote, belonged to intelligence, unquote. And there's the paragraph. And again, these are some of the things that are just amazing to me when, like, it's a clear issue here of, like, okay, well, that's what gives it away. When none of the people in the journalistic corps is like, okay, question him on that. Ask him more about that.
What really?
Is
that? Who told you that?
Yeah, who
you
know? You're really.
Like, so what's intelligence?
Here someone
Nothing.
Shows up. It's a crime. This is a big story. Someone shows up and tells you hands off. You'd think that would be an interesting detail to kind of look into a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But no, they don't. They just leave it alone. Drop it right there.
Yeah, but he gets arrested twice because of the FBI. So you think it's the FBI? No, it's not American intelligence. Or why would we arrest him? Like, why arrest them and let them off? Just don't arrest them in the first place, right? It's not American intelligence. It's Israeli intelligence.
Yeah.
And as soon as he just waits back there and he's like, I'll take my phone call, and calls Lord Rothschild or whatever, they're like, oh, all right, never mind. You're free to go.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have a way of explaining when they made such a fuss. They didn't have any other way to just let him free. So they're like, okay, 6 out of 7 days you can be on work leave. You're going to have to – can you just stay the night in jail on Sundays? You know, or at least say you're there. They actually would follow him to work and be his chauffeurs and whatnot. And he started calling the cops his clients or whatever, instead of, no, I'm a prisoner and these are the police. He's like, no, they work for me. So disgusting, man. They bought all the women's underwear at the store near the jail. Like, what are you doing? And you know, people like Jess Staley were visiting him over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, he's from Chase, but then he works for Barclays, but, he not just works. He was the head. He recently stepping down too. A lot of these people were worried about the Maxwell trial and started leaving their positions.
I saw some
I don't
of
know
them
about
yeah.
Jack Dorsey leaving. I think that was coincidence, but all these people leave just in case maybe.
Yeah.
But so far the trial has really been super limited, unless Annie Farmer. Now she's the last one to go. We don't know what she said or what all yet, but prosecution rested his case after her. I feel like of the four, she is the one that would really hammer it in, though. So they saved her as the cleanup hitter, but it's just a letdown, man. I don't know. They're like, oh, yeah, Epstein did this all by himself and I helped. You know,
and that's it. Yeah. Do you get that sense of it that the trial, they're kind of forced to do something. They have to move ahead in this direction. But basically what they'll do here is, as you said, they'll find her guilty on all these charges. She'll be locked away. She'll probably die in jail or something, you know, later on or something. And nothing
she'll
more
will ever
come from.
She'll get a comfortable jail because of her cooperation, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, that's pretty much what's going to happen. If it would actually be better if she got acquitted, because that's so overplaying their hand that the public would completely rage out against
that. That's why I think that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen because
no,
it would be
happen.
Worse if she got acquitted than if they found her guilty, but
of
in
course.
A limited way, right?
Yeah.
So you can see all this. And I kind of figured this would is how it would be, but at least there was the chance someone just goes off script in the trial and says,
right.
I saw you with so-and-so, you know?
Yeah. No, I think it's very managed, right? What about the Cuomos here, too? There's some interesting details here regarding both.
Well, Christina Cuomo's in the Black Book, the second Black Book.
She
right?
is. She is. That's correct. Yep. We showed that the other day.
He got fired.
But I think Andrew Cuomo was mentioned too, by the way, as being one of the people in the Black Book, or at least ties to Epstein. Let me see if I can find that source again.
Well, Chris Cuomo's wife is in there, and I don't remember if Andrew's in there.
I thought it was. Let me see if I can find that story again. I had it here just the other day. I know where it is. I'll find it, right? But yeah, so Chris Cuomo's anyway. The producer, I worked with him for many, many years, since at least 2015. This guy, look at it. Yeah, John Griffin. I mean, look at this guy. It's like, if you want to have a face, look at that guy. If you want a face of a kid diddler, I think that.
Right, yeah. I mean, you just look at him, you're like, child molester.
Yeah, like, holy shit. It's amazing, right? So this guy managed to rope in mothers somehow into this, and the mothers were convinced to bring their daughters because he was going to, quote, train them properly. And some of them actually did this. Can you believe that? Some mothers actually fell for
money.
This. Yeah, money maybe, but, you know.
It's still. Money. No one's that dumb.
these days.
Out their kids, the fancy CNN producer, they're having a hard time. Don Lemon's on charges of.
Yeah.
You know, stinky mustache gate, and then you've got Cuomo fired, and then John Griffin caught grooming and kitty filling the little girls.
And remember this?
And their moms.
Remember this a while?
What's going on over there, Jeff Zucker?
Exactly. Yeah, Zucker. Former de Blasio employee sentenced to prison for child porn. This is a couple of years ago. But also a prominent CNN contributor, Jacob Schwartz. He was the president of the Manhattan Young Democrats. Here he is in 2016 being interviewed on CNN. And here he is with, I forget what this CNN anchor is called, but they're good friends as well hanging out.
I think that's Robach, Diana Robach, maybe.
Is that what it is? I forget her name.
I'm just basing off of face. It kind of looks like her. And she wanted to, they suppress stories about, Epstein too.
So it's all a little network. It's almost like that those stories that came out on CNN of how ridiculous things like Pizzagate was. It's almost like that. It's more clarity to what the agenda was behind that right now.
Oh, well, look at them all denying the Hunter Biden laptop.
Even
he had underage prostitutes and stuff and a lot of Russian girls.
Right.
It's funny because they accused Donald Trump of having Russian prostitutes piss on him.
Yeah.
But that's something Hunter Biden actually did.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. And then the Nygaards, you know, being
always,
shat on.
Always guilty what they accuse others of.
Projection, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here's the Chris Cuomo's wife here, Christina Grieven Cuomo, right? 1997. She's listed in the little Black Book. There's the screenshot of that right there. But yeah, apparently here, let me see here. Not this screenshot. Here, let me see here. Are another couple of people listed, and they do have Andrew Cuomo here. I'm not sure what the source for that is or why they list him, but apparently if Chris Cuomo's wife is on there, I wouldn't be surprised if some other family members are tied in, to be honest.
They contact them through her. This is not water, by the way. I'm feeling the Christmas cheer.
There you go. Good for you. I wish I had
Yuletide
some.
Yuletide cheer.
Yeah, there you go. That's nice.
I like Christmas too, but I feel like people ought to know their traditions and their history.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Did you get Lana with some candles on her head?
The Lucia celebration. Yeah, I do like Lucia. Yesterday I baked some. I'm sorry, it was actually today. I mean,
you're supposed to be blonde, right? I guess you're not always, but
no, they actually had the Swedish public television have a Lucia celebration, and I looked, or like it's called Lucia morning, right? There's always in the morning, and the one from this year was actually very that was beautiful. It was very well made, and they had, it wasn't contrived with like diversity and stuff. It was actually Swedish girls in there and stuff, and it was like, this is actually pretty wholesome, you know.
Miss Helsinki.
Because yeah, I know, right? They always do that. If you go back just a few years, it was like they had to signal so hard every damn time. It couldn't be like, you know, too many Swedes in the Swedish tradition, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, it was actually wholesome.
Swedish tradition.
You know what I mean.
Not enough elves.
No,
but it's the celebration of the light, Lightbringer. And
of course.
I guess where they get Lucilla from, that the saint off of Lucifer, some twist.
Well, so there was one, and it was a good story because it was a good overlap, right, as Sweden was being Christianized. If you go back into the 1500, something like that. I forget exactly when that was brought in. As Sweden was, you know, after it'd been, Catholicized, if that's the right term. And then they found this saint that had a good overlap with an already existing tradition. I think the St. Lucia celebration in Italy was actually in February, I believe, or maybe even in June or something like that. But then they're like, oh, this works.
In August.
It was something like that. Yeah, forget it. And so it was a perfect overlap with basically an old Nordic, you know, sun goddess type thing. Way ancient. I mean, really ancient. Even the way they led the procession of the girl and stuff like that. There was an older tradition, a pagan or pre-Christian tradition, where the animals that you lined up for slaughter for the feast that was coming for the Yule night was actually led in procession around the little village and stuff like that. And in some stories,
they try to get the white ox, right? And it's changed to the Christmas ham today, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
and then the Americans have changed that to the turkey. So there's some little Native American influence on the most evolved part of the holiday now. Turkey
is turkey more common on the Christmas table in the U.S.?
My family had Christmas ham and turkey.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
we have a big family.
Yep.
So we needed all that anyway. But it's also the state of Virginia. I would have like it was where my grandparents were, with the Virginia hams kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And of course, we had turkeys. We got American Indians in our family, too. And a lot of people just have turkey dinners. But
yeah,
originally, it was the ox, I think. It was they sliced up in the beef.
Yeah, there was definitely a cow that was led around. And that's actually part of where people believe the candles came from. I mean, again, it's like a whole sun ritual there
because you're
bringing back the light and stuff. But yeah, they actually had candles or torched mounted on the head of the ox that was the main, main slaughter animal and stuff like that. So, and then he transforms and emerges into new things and stuff. But it's a beautiful young tradition. It's to bring back the light.
December was the hunting season, and then they got the domesticated animals to make it easier. But
right.
I think they would do – and I might be botching this, but the reindeer was like a sacred animal, and I think that's because what grows in reindeer dung, mushrooms.
Yeah, the magic mushrooms. I mean, there's a whole thing if you look at like Christmas present and the color, the red and the white, and like growing under the trees and stuff. Like, I mean, it's a whole mythological ceremonial thing.
Well, it must have been cool, like the first evergreens to reach Scandinavia. It must have been like, why doesn't this tree ever?
I know, right? And that actually took place in that transition kind of period in a way. I mean, we don't exactly know that it could have been brought and planted, but I mean, the pine moved up in the tundra, Russia, from Russia, and then down the Scandinavian peninsula, and some people speculate that initially, you know, the Yggdrasil, the world tree, the green, the big tree or whatever,
Sephiroth.
Right, it was an oak initially, and then as the evergreens came, then they became a big pine eventually, or some kind of, you know, pine tree or something like that. That was like, and then eventually that led to people actually, you know, chopping down that tree and bringing it into the house, and you know, those kinds of things. So it's a succession of things, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Book of Jeremiah, I believe, talking about, well, there's warning against it. They're saying don't go chop trees and decorate them like these heathens.
Right, yeah. This is a dangerous tradition or something, right? But now it makes sense when you piece it together. I mean, especially from their point of view of like an ancient mindset, everything is very uncertain. You don't know how things go. Obviously, superstition is part of that. But as a way to try to understand the natural phenomena and the natural world.
The same book has him chopping up a concubine and dividing her body to the 12 tribes of Israel. So like, yeah, you can chop up a person, but don't cut the tree down and decorate it.
You can circumcise yourself at age 99 to enter into the covenant with, you know, with God. Yeah. That's fine, though, but, you know.
Dick choppers.
Ding, there you go. Sorry. Excellent.
Yeah, I've got coming Rijack. I'm transforming right now. Nice. I feel it kicking in. This right, is where my songs come from.
So what else should we, do we need to go through? I mean, this is as I said before, this is a Gordian knot when it comes to all the people, all the connection, all the things, and you've talked about this for
it takes
years.
A long time to explain it thoroughly, actually. Yeah.
Well, what are some of the other more interesting elements or individuals in this saga? Who would you like to have seen roped into this? We know it's never going to go to Israeli intelligence or something.
If I could
pick someone
on the map, like to go down.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, well, I mean, Wexner is probably the center.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's going to die soon anyway, so I don't want to waste it on that.
Maria Farmer, the painting I'm showing on the screen right now, she put Wexner right in the middle, and Ghislaine was in this bubble over it. Remember her painting?
Oh, yeah. That? Well, that's accurate for this wing. But
yeah,
Wexner is not the top, though, but he's the top of financing Epstein.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at... what's his name again? Dershowitz there with this little wiener. It's funny. his pants is off in that picture, though. Noteworthy. But yeah, she does Ghislaine Maxwell as a some kind of reptile, some kind of lizard, you know. But pretty accurate. Did you find someone?
Yeah, I mean, this whole wing of people in finance would be great because they're all billionaires and they're young. But as far as the top people, it's these two, Wexner and Steinhardt. That's the... I'd pick Les Wexner.
What is Steinhardt up to? I'm not too familiar with what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, he's a founder of it, and he's a founder of the New York Sun newspaper with Conrad Black, who's another piece of shit who was also convicted.
Is he the Canadian?
He's the one that wrote letters to Bill Clinton to get Mark Rich pardoned, which Clinton ended up doing his last hour in office. And Mark Rich and Pincus Green were in a child trafficking ring. He's down here somewhere. Yeah, right there. And here's Green. Here's Rich. Here's related to Richard Pearl. You know what? That's off the screen, ain't it? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, can't see it.
Well,
down there,
anyway, it's on the map. But, like, if you know the whole Mark Rich story and working with Russian mafia, right?
Yeah.
Running guns, running people, and even uranium, right?
Yeah.
When you know what that's for.
Yeah.
Career criminal, he ran Glencore, a commodities company that fleeced a lot of resources out of African nations, broke the embargo against Iran and got things for pennies on the dollar, sold weapons to South Africa during the apartheid. Just a piece of shit. And what they got him on those tax evasion. They didn't care about all his criminal activities and, you know, selling people.
Right.
They got mad at him for not paying enough in taxes. He owed like $48 million or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's your birthright, Israel.
Yeah, and I thought it was Steinhardt on one of the big funders on that. I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that. No, Michael Steinhardt. Yeah, he's one of the people listed there, right? In the
Yeah, he's a co-creator. You know, and he's been accused 7 times of sexual harassment. Like, I put a little list of the shit they're responsible for under each little node.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I can't write all of it out, but that's why I have videos and stuff. But this map really lets you get your head. This little thing, this is like if they're in the black book, they got a black book next to them, right?
Yeah.
And then this is the 2019 map. The 2021 map is better, and it's got books, handcuffs, and skulls. Because some are dead, some are in jail, some are just in the book. But if I could hit anybody on that, actually, Richard Pearl would be nice to throw in prison. Any of these motherfuckers, really.
Hey, did you see this one? Look at this.
Yeah.
Michael Steinhardt surrenders $70 million of stolen art. This is from a week ago. I didn't see
12
this.
Different countries. No, 11 countries and 12 crime rings, right?
Rapacious appetite on this the other day. Plundering artifacts.
So he had art. He had the stag head. He had $70 billion worth, and it involved 12 criminal networks and 11 different countries. No charges.
He's fucking people. It's just,
that was
incredible.
Just a few days ago. That was like the 7th or 6th or something.
Yeah, I just saw that now. It's like, whoa, look at this. I had no idea. I didn't
know. Oh, there you go. Yep. Oh, 11 countries. Oh, yeah, that's what I said. Did they talk about the 12 criminal networks?
I'm not sure here.
Well, he did. So.
Law enforcement officers, authorities in Bulgaria, Egypt, Greece, Iraq, Israel, Italy, Jordan, Lebanon, Libya, Syria, and Turkey were part of this. So, yeah, he has a finger in every goddamn thing, this guy.
Mm-hmm. He had to return a lot of it, and they've actually gotten over $200 million now.
There's the stag head right there, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the things he had. That's worth $4 million or something.
Python. Who did this? Who is the... where did this come from? Stag said, which dates to 400 BCE, appeared without providence on the market following looting in Milas, Turkey, and is valued to $3.5 million. Yeah, this is... It's like...
it's from Assyria. Like,
is it? Yeah.
Turkey was, well, in that year, it wasn't Turkey. It was Assyria, right?
Right. So they're like, oh, this is us. We need these things, right?
It's, yeah, I guess this, the western part would be the Hittites. I'm not sure where that town is.
So. Well, that would be very interesting if so, because there's a whole theory there of who the Hittites were, right? Or I guess Hyksos, technically the Hyksos, but this invader group that came in and so all of a sudden the whole empire collapses after they come in. What could that be?
Part of what happened is the Hittites were actually victorious when they hit the Levant, and they brought slaves back that had plague, and that ravaged their empire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the theory that I think has the most evidence.
It's an interesting time then. They even talk about the Sea Peoples, the collapse of the Bronze Age, you know, all these different empires at that time. Syria, Egypt, Babylon,
from the
Isles, you know,
of Greece and Phoenician.
Most likely. I mean, it came kind of in succession, but it's like migrant waves, there's pestilence, there's like low crop, it's like a whole, it's just a collapse, you know. There was this pretty neat, like, you know, trade network. It was all like an interlinked chain, and all of a sudden it just breaks. No one knows what the first domino was, but eventually, it's interesting because it feels like we're in those times again when you look back at the collapse of the Bronze Age, you know, very, for that time, intricate trade system and, you know, codependence and stuff. And it's like anything could do that in our age and day and age. Is it China that's
well,
like
what happens
that domino,
is like,
you know?
Sea trade is how you become, that's not only are you getting more material wealth, you're getting more philosophy and ideas. Everything expands with sea trade. So yeah. Does disease, though.
Right.
So you're hitting all these places and getting funky germs and come back, and then it wipes people out. That happened to the Minoans. It happened to early ancient Greeks. So it's kind of, we know it's happened many times.
Yeah.
And this sort of fits with, that's probably what happened there. But there were, you know, there are groups with an interest in suppressing that history because they want to say they're the people from the Levant, and they're not. The Philistines, the Phoenicians, and at least the men from other groups, they intermarried with the locals, all landed in what's now Lebanon, Palestine, and the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hebrews, which were east of that, were sort of like where Jordan is now, they had a presence, but very small minority the whole time. That whole King David story is completely made up. It's about as real as King Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
But they have historized a mythology in order to make a land claim so that they can sort of justify their present ethnic cleansing and land grabbing. Even if the claim was true, you still don't have the right.
No,
to
of
just
course not. It's like you left thousands of years ago. What are you going to do? Just go.
No, the majority of Jews in Israel came from Poland. Like they're from Europe.
They intermarried over time. They intermarried over time. Yeah, that's how they got. You know, that's the way they look. You know, more European these days. But yeah.
Well, they're from a certain part of Europe with a lot of inbreeding. You know, it's. Lots of different people lived in what's considered Europe.
Interesting, though. He loved the Stein.
Some of the artwork's really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like ancient.
He had good taste.
Ancient, they love that ancient stuff. And like, what is it? Is that the Ninth Gate, the movie? They have these rich, you know, they're like Satanist devil worshippers, but they collect all these fine books and rare art and stuff.
Satanist.
Yeah. There you go. wow, incredible. All right, okay.
They liked it. It's kind of, it's a status thing. Like,
yeah, of course.
There you compete with other art collectors. Of course, then you've got like the Hunter Biden selling art and the Israeli art students with their stupid glitter cats.
What the fuck was what was that? I haven't even looked into that so much, but there was like hideous crap that he painted. Was
Hunter is almost as bad as the Israelis. It's just utter. It's complete nonsense. They're selling art for influence. Duh. You can't pay him for influence to his dad, so you pay him for his artwork.
And, oh, look at that. He's painting
that
there.
Piece of shit. Is that your therapy for your crack addiction?
Oh,
lost all
God.
His teeth.
Here we go. Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
Let's look at the Hunter artwork. 500,000.
Oh my God. Look at this.
Look at this crap. It looks like my kid could make that. You're just taking paint and water and
it's dripping.
It.
Yeah, of course. This is paint dripping.
That's all it is.
Amazing. Look at that. Wow. Incredible. Ooh, look at that. Pixelated. I want to see the value of valuation was for this too. But yeah, no, this is, of course, this is, look at this ugly shit. Kickback.
It's like you took a tire and rolled around in paint. Like, I'm so creative, I'm blowing through a straw. Like, yeah, you're used to straws.
I think
for
this one, I think he used the paint dripped off his penis. That's what I think that is right there.
We had a joke about the dick painter.
Yeah.
Are you tired of all these boring paint brushes? You want some excitement in your life? Dick painter. I make a lot of stupid commercials and songs.
It's fun though, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. $500,000 per painting. But that's not a problem. That's totally fine.
Yeah. Who would pay for that? Nobody. But you're not paying for the art. You're paying for access to Hunter, which means access to Joe Biden. Duh.
Yeah. Yeah. The 51-year-old art dealer, Georges Burgess. Maybe time to take out that bell. I'm not sure. Who was jailed.
Right on in, early life, that one, yeah.
Yeah, who was jailed in California in the 90s for assault and making terroristic threats. Oh, great. Told ArtNet that he had priced Biden's artworks between $75,000 and $500,000. Okay.
Quite deranged there.
Wow. Yeah, that is crazy.
How do you get from 75 to 500?
That's quite a bit of a range, actually. Yeah, huge range. I guess it depends on what you want out in the end, right? Of the Bidens, which is pretty crazy.
You want to visit Water Island? Do you know about that? The Bidens bought property in Water Island, just north of St. Jeffries. What are they doing down there?
What is that? What it's called? Water Island?
It's called Water Island. Yeah, they don't own the island, but they own a lot of property on it. And
interesting.
Why? Who does? Oh, I'm just going to buy property in the middle of nowhere. So what? We can get away and do some more painting.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, it's
Biden,
so dirty.
Biden's Hunter Biden and John Kerry's kid Chris Hines did a lot of business deals together.
Right.
And he's like related to Whitey Bulger of the Boston Mafia. And, God, the whole story, Kerry, I need to make a John Kerry map. I just feel like it's dated and no one would care. But Devin Archer and Chris Hines and Hunter Biden were the trio. Devin Archer is the only one with the brain. Chris Hines had the money and access. And then Hunter Biden had access because his dad's now president. Before that, both of them served on the Senate Armed Service Committee.
Right.
So, Kerry, who changed his name, John Kerry.
Right. That's right, Hines. Kerry Hines.
Yeah, well, Hines definitely, but Kerry was anyway. He changed his name from Cone to Kerry so he could get more Irish votes in Boston. And by the way, got my Irish flag here, signed by the governor of Dublin, or the mayor, excuse me. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll show up on the camera. Maybe not. A little nice. Right.
When did you get that?
Got it in Ireland.
When?
2019.
There you go. So not too long ago.
Yeah, back when you could still travel. I got to visit Ireland before everything got shut down and turned to shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm almost tempted. I don't know how long you want to go here, but
I would brag a little bit. I stayed on Dawson Street. My ancestors built part of Dublin, Grafton Street, Ann Street, and Dawson Street. The Dawson Manor is now the governor's mansion. Got a tour of that, met a senator, met the governor, met the mayor. I got treated like a king. So, of course, I loved my trip to Ireland. It was awesome.
That's great.
And the Dawson Bar is the smallest bar in Ireland, is also on Dawson Street. I was going to go visit it, but I had my one-year-old with me. They're like, oh, you can't have children here. And I was like, I didn't say anything about who it was or anything. I was like, all right, I just left.
Hey, Woody, unrelated here, Ryan, but, you know, the COVID thing and stuff like that is kind of interesting. Do you know anything about Korea, South Korea specifically? I came across this article the other day. It was regarding the new lockdowns and the measures, and they're seeming they want to pick up on that and continue. South Korea cuts human interaction in push to build an untapped society. The government invests heavily into remove human contact from many aspects of life, but fears of harmful social consequences persist. So they apparently jumped on the COVID thing to use that as like an excuse to rebuild a society. And then the follow-up articles of this was that South Korea has the world's lowest fertility rate, and it's about to get even lower because they're not like people are not even like hooking up. I forget what the they had some stats on it. Do you know anything about this?
Well, they're waiting to older and older ages before they have children.
To have kids. Yeah, exactly. They brought that up.
Because you got to understand, South Korea went from the 141st poorest country to the 10th wealthiest country in a matter of a few decades. And so the world their grandparents and parents grew up in, and the world that kids in the, even the 80s, Korea was pretty poor, mm-hmm. right? And now suddenly there's all this wealth, but a lot of it's coming from outside. And so a lot of them can't afford to get an apartment or a house till they're almost 30, right? Because the prices increase so much and the opportunity, you're not really getting that kind of salary. So they're having children later and later in life.
Yeah.
And you ask them, why are you having children in your 30s? And it's because of economic reasons every time.
Yeah.
It's not like they don't fuck and stuff. They do. It's just they're right. not, they're waiting to have a child because they don't have a home. They don't have the things they feel like they ought to have before they have children. And that's because of their economic situation. Like South Korea on paper looks very wealthy, and it is, but that isn't like the common person has all that. It's Samsung's doing very well and Line's mm-hmm. doing very well. And you know, all your K-pop groups and stuff, they're doing well culturally and from a sort of top corporation point of view, but the housing in Seoul is insane, and you've got mad inflation everywhere because of COVID. And so prices keep going up mm-hmm. and that does delay your birth rates for sure.
I mean, modernity and success to a certain extent seem to have a role in it as well, as we see in most Western countries. Like poor countries are like, they have a lot of kids and stuff. As we get more comfortable and, you know, it's all about stuff and materialism and stuff like that.
People get wealthy, but usually not until their 40s, you know? So, until you have that, like compared to others, so there people don't have children as young because you're not going to have any more. You can't just move out at 18 and buy a house. Mm. Like that is not feasible anymore.
No.
Unless, you know, inherited something, like you got to work for a while to earn that.
Yeah.
So
there's
inflation in that, and that delays the birth rate. They also seem to do the opposite of whatever Japan does. Japan is having ivermectin to like take it. They put warning labels on the so-called vaccines that it could cause myocarditis and blood clots. Like they're just saying it like it is. This will cause blood clots and heart inflammation and yada yada.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, they tend to go opposite directions for whatever reason. But part of the reason Japan's allowing ivermectin is it's from Japan, probably.
Yeah. They're
like, oh, that's ours. So why don't we make money, you know? But it took a while. I mean, they were so late. They were the last country to allow vaccines in. Last first world country, at least. And, because of that, a lot of people just got COVID, got over it and aren't spreading it. So by the time they got vaccines, their quote unquote vaccine, mRNA therapy, it was unnecessary because most of people have already been inoculated naturally.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I see this story. That was a while back. That was a few months ago.
That's a while back. But remember there was actually some black magnetic substance in a batch of the Moderna vaccine that was found in Japan.
I think it was heavy metals or something.
Yeah. It was
1.6 million.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And a batch that was going to Taiwan right after Japan did this, Taiwan did this because they, and the same thing, Moderna, they found it.
Yeah.
Because when Japan found it, the Taiwanese went and checked out the batches and they found the same thing. So that scared a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
Not getting the jab.
Not supposed to, do you know what the rates are in Japan? The jab rates?
They've got Moderna and Pfizer and AstraZeneca and all the same as everybody else.
Right. But like a percentile of the population. I'll see. Maybe I can find something there.
It's pretty high.
Is it high?
Because Japan's a huge elderly population, And so a lot of – when you're actually in a high-risk group, go ahead and take something that will lower the symptoms, I suppose. But, you know, younger people aren't. They tried to push it as low as 12. They said no. I think Tokyo actually okayed that, but then all the prefectures were like, eh-eh. And in Nara, where I'm from, the mayor took the COVID money and spent it on childcare instead.
Oh, good. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, they claim here 78%.
He rides around on a horse with deer following him around. He's based. Very traditional Japanese. He wears like the big kimono and stuff.
Nice. Yeah, 78% they claim here fully vaccinated, if you can trust the numbers. But yeah, that is pretty. It's like the rest of the Western countries and modern countries. Not good. Okay. Well,
yeah, it sucks, but it's because of the aging population, and it's also because Japan is very much like, if some do it, everyone else does it.
Right.
It's very collective.
Yeah. Like Sweden is like that too. It's like the actually an overlap between Nordic countries and like these Asian, you know, high IQ Asian countries. It's very much the same.
I'm gonna send you a picture of the mayor because it's just awesome that this is my mayor. Did it go through? It's coming through on VK slowly.
Okay.
I didn't know it was so huge. But yeah, so in Nara, which is next to Osaka, the deer, the regular like white-tailed deer, is a sacred animal that you can't kill or eat, not even hunt or anything. And so they just roam around. Like you can pet them. They're completely used to people and tame. And this guy will ride around on a white horse and deer follow him around like he's some mythical figure. It's pretty cool.
Here we go. I finally
He called Dr. Fauci a little demon man.
Oh, good. Excellent. Did he know?
Yeah, a little demon man.
That's awesome.
Akuma. Yeah.
Let me see if I can get it to load here. Yeah, it's like slow for some reason. But yeah, here he is. Nice. Yeah, that looks great.
He's got the white horse. He's based.
Here we go. Traditional garb. All right, folks. Here you can take a load of this guy. Nice.
He's having none of this COVID shit.
Well, that's good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There he is.
That's cool because Nara is the former capital. It was Nara, Kyoto, and then Edo, Tokyo.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Nara, what part of that in the country is that? Whereabouts?
It's just east of Osaka, just south of Kyoto.
Okay.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Nice.
Pretty much. And they're pretty based there anyway. They have – they also – his city is like – has forbidden nuclear weapons. Not that they'd ever build them there anyway, but it's officially you can't do this kind of work here. But it was really cool. They dumped it into childcare, which is, you know, if you're going to have all this money allocated from Tokyo, he's like, we're going to spend this on daycare and things like that.
Yeah, right.
We're not wasting it on COVID mask and stuff. And you notice he's not wearing a mask either. You don't have to.
Yeah,
it's actually not a mandate, but a lot of people wear them anyway.
Right, it's kind of, They've already done that years back, many Asian countries anyway. But, I mean, here is just not nuts. You're hearing about Austria, Germany, of course, forced vaccinations, mandatory, the businesses are trying and stuff. It's like, you know, this is going to be a shit show. I think a lot of people are going to die.
Austria's got a fine coming, right?
Yep.
A 600 euros.
And then it gets incrementally larger the longer you and if you don't pay it by, was it the third warning or something letter, they will come you and they will put you in jail. And my thought was like, so they've said this, we're not going to hold you down on the ground and like forcefully inject you in the arm, but we're going to like coerce you so much, we're going to, you know, fine you and then jail and stuff. But I want the jail thing is interesting because then I'm like, if you're jailed, you essentially, you become a ward of the state. You don't have your own autonomy. And I'm thinking like, okay, well, it's the law that if you're going to be in our jails, you have to be vaccinated. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something like that coming. You will be forcefully vaccinated because you need to be in a jail or something. But
in a quarantine camp that is a jail that they won't call a jail.
Right? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
They'll just send everybody to Australia.
Canada's building them. I mean, in the U.S., they call them green zones. That's starting to go up. There are certain camps here and there that we've, you know, people have, you know, spotted, or like quarantine facilities, they call it and stuff, right?
But not all U.S. states, not down south.
No, some of them don't, obviously. No,
yeah,
no,
DeSantis told them to go fuck themselves. Florida is the real free state. I mean, I'm proud. It's Florida, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee. It's all southern states that have just said this to COVID.
Yeah.
And it's New York and California and these places that are just scared of their shadow. They keep electing fucking sexual predators as governor. I mean, the last three in New York had to resign for groping women.
Yeah.
Right. What's going on there, Yankees? I know.
Well, the Hochul, she's horrible. I mean, see that? She had that vaxxed, the necklace that she was wearing. I mean, it's just, they're like in a cult, remember?
It is. Have you seen, like, okay, if you want to see the cult of the left, watch the late night comedians, because that's where they get news from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from Steve Colbert to Jimmy Fallon are doing music videos with syringes and masks and stuff. It is just so cringy. Ugh.
It's crazy.
They did the My Sharona song for the vaccinated, I think, something Ugh. Like that. Dancing. He had bearded men with shaved legs in silver syringe outfit.
There's been some of the most cringy stuff I've ever seen come out with the especially the vaccine songs and stuff. But like everything, it's like these people are, they're brainwashed and they're, but they're also, they're getting ready though too. I mean, they're like, let me see if I can find some of those headlines. Remember seeing them?
We have some counter songs.
We do know that's good. That's good. But the terrorist level.
I'll be getting those to you later. I got some songs that say the opposite.
Okay, good. Yeah, we need something that's pushing back against us.
Actually, sing to do some of these lyrics I got.
Yeah, check out this real quick, Ryan. The headlines here regarding the terrorist labeling, which was kind of interesting. This from Metro. Hardcore anti-vaxxers may need de-radicalizing like terrorists.
Wow.
The latest one. They're coming for you. If you're not vaxxed, definitely in the West at least. Hopefully, you know, some countries resist or whatever. And remember,
well, I'm vaccinated. This is not a vaccine, so.
It's not. It's technically, they have to change the definition, but what do they care?
They change the definition so that they can get the immunity that vaccines have.
Well,
against liability.
Yeah. Well, that won't do it anyway. That's they could change it to whatever they want. It's not going to do anything. Vice had an article too.
They keep calling it a vaccine because people know about other vaccines that they trust and had when they were a baby or whatever. So like, yeah. Oh yeah, vaccine. The science is solid. Like, this is not a vaccine.
No, it's
and
not.
The science
it's
is not solid.
Nope, it doesn't operate
and
the same.
Some of the ones that are vaccines, you might want to look into. Not all of those are necessary either.
No, they're definitely not. I'm proudly anti-vax. I don't care what they call me.
Yeah.
That shit's horrendous.
RFK Jr.'s book, everybody needs to get that. Go to the last chapter and just read about the fuckery. It is
on Fauci, the book on Fauci. He did?
Yeah, the real Fauci.
Yeah, yeah.
I have it on my website if people want to help me out, since I just lost another YouTube channel. Go through our Amazon affiliate link and get it. It doesn't add to the price or anything. I get some shekels that way.
Yeah, I saw it up there in the corner. Let me show that real quick. Yeah, the real Anthony Fauci. Bill Gates, right. Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health by Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Right below that gold pot where people can donate.
There you go.
That mug, that Ghislaine's Tears, is gone because they canceled the store.
Oh, that's too bad.
We have people drinking out of that during the trial, but they didn't show the trial. They're not showing the trial, and they got rid of my mugs and shirts. Bastards.
Let me show you this too. I think I had a excuse me. Well, we can show this with the Santa theme here. Did you see this cringy thing? Look at this here.
I took a trip up there to the North Pole.
That is pretty cringy.
I took a trip up there to the North Pole. I went there and I vaccinated Santa Claus myself. I measured his level of immunity and he is good to go. He can come down the chimney. He can leave the presents. He can leave and you have nothing to worry about.
So not until the second or third quarter of 2021, though. Christmas is probably not going to be possible.
Yeah,
Yeah. That's the guy. I think I actually have a clip from...
Omicron, just in time for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, Christmas. Perfect. Everything is back on. Here's a clip with actually Robert F. Kennedy talking about what Fauci did with, I think, the people that he was experimenting on, and actually the dead bodies where they were buried. Listen to this here.
Celia Farber was this amazing researcher who worked on this chapter for me and did a lot of the original research on it. She actually went up to Hawthorne, New York, to the Gates of Heaven Cemetery. She found the cemetery where Fauci
was. Fuck. Is he going to do that to me? Hang on. I got this, as I say. Let me just fix this real quick. Sorry about this, guys. I'm this pesky technical weird of things here. Let me see.
Sarah Silverman's favorite Christmas song is Silver Bells.
Yeah, they have written a lot of the Christmas songs. They that is definitely not a lie.
Commercialization of Christmas happened because of whom?
I know. Yeah, they didn't used to be like that, and now it's all hoodwink. Take over. Okay, here it is. Hang on.
It's like it got subverted.
Here we go. Okay, here's the clip. Let's check out that again. This is a cemetery where the people were buried that Fauci was experimenting on. Here we go. Listen.
Celia Farber was this amazing researcher who worked on this chapter for me and did a lot of the original research on it. She actually went up to Hawthorne, New York, to the Gates of Heaven Cemetery. She found the cemetery where Fauci was disposing of the corpses of these children who died in his illegal experiments. She found an open pit. It was actually covered by an astroturf carpet. And she opened the astroturf carpet and she saw hundreds and hundreds of tiny little coffins stacked haphazardly upon each other, because these are children who have no parents and nobody was there to protect them. And Tony Fauci treated them as collateral damage. And, you know, his objective was to enlarge the markets for these pharmaceutical companies who he had partnered with by allowing HIV, these toxic chemotherapy drugs, to be given to children. And then the next experiments, which are in the next chapter, which are equally horrendous, is his experiments on Africans.
Yeah.
To try to open markets for the maternal, to end maternal transmission of AIDS. So he was giving the most toxic drugs known to humanity to pregnant women, many of whom with their babies, many of whom did not have HIV, to see what the tolerance levels were. In other words, not to try to help them, and to see how much they could take before their babies would abort or before they would die.
He is
a monster.
It's amazing how the left loves this guy now. He's just like, they're Fauci, Saint Fauci. They're worshiping this guy. And yet all the crime, all the cover-up, all the disease he's caused, all the murder.
The more evil you are, the more praise you get from
media. It seems like it.
Media.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'll talk about the AIDS thing too. Fauci worked with Matilda Krim, which is the Ergun operative that was sleeping with LBJ. She was an early AIDS researcher with that stupid ATZ shit. Mm-hmm. And this guy, when they were talking about Africa, they changed the criteria for what counts as AIDS. They weren't doing antibody tests for HIV or anything. They would just say if you have 3 of these symptoms, they're very generic things that could have been from malnourishment, malaria, whatever, then you have AIDS, which means you need the HIV. We need to inoculate you on HIV and take these medicines, AIDS medication. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have AIDS. They didn't have HIV. They just had whatever. Could have had a fever, could have had anything. It would meet those symptoms. But they wanted to expand the pretext for who would get these medications, because mm-hmm. they were live action testing real human beings. And they did the same thing in India. They'd go to rural areas in India, grab some little girls or people without parents, living with their grandparents or something, and drug them up. If they died, they died. So what?
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of Pfizer. Remember this, how they were signaling a while back? This is like, June 1st, 2020, right? Our purpose, breakthroughs that change patients' lives, will not be achieved if we don't work together to increase equity in our healthcare system, reduce bias in our workplace, and build more inclusive communities, right? All woke. And here, in the image down below, it talks about how they actively speak out against racial injustice, confront conscious and unconscious bias, and lead courageous conversations with colleagues and those in our communities. And then you find out, you scratch the surface, it's like, they push this, the anti-white, like BLM movement, like when they're in the West and stuff. But then they can go to Africa and they can like experiment on like 200 Africans and like kill 11 of them with these drugs and stuff. And then they admit their guilt and they basically get fined for it and say, oh, you have to pay money to the survivors. And then they are fighting them on who they get to pay out, money to and stuff like that. It's all, It's all for show. They don't care. These people are used as a shield against white people. That's what. That's how they're doing it, right? That's what people have to. That's the trick. When they push all this shit.
Race. All equity and diversity means is racial redistribution of wealth.
Yeah.
And jobs. You know, and that's just going to cause problems. Like if someone doesn't deserve something, and everyone knows, you're undermining the people of that category who would be able to do it anyway, and then you're also excluding people who don't have opportunity to do that because they weren't the right color or category. I mean, that's racism itself. So they engage in what they say they're fighting. It's another example of screaming in pain as they beat you. They pontificate about how evil racism is, and then they engage in racist activities themselves.
Of course, yeah.
And they say how they want to protect the poor and the third world and all that, and they're doing experiments on these people.
Yep. Yep, they don't give a shit about anybody. They just that's one thing that's true though. They do.
Did that to American Indians in the U.S. too.
I was going
to
say they hate everyone equally, but these days I guess that's not true. They do hate white people more, but in terms of consideration for anybody, they're equally anti-human, I guess, these companies.
Like I think whites probably are the rung below them that threaten their power the most, so they're after them the most. But like in Asia, they hate Asians, you know, and in the U.S. and Europe, they hate whites. They target whoever is, you know, because they don't like Sony, they don't like any of that either. Whoever is like a threat to their monopoly and press, is they're going to weaponize people against them. So it's funny because like they're totally on the Uyghur and Muslim side in China, right?
Right.
Or in Saudi Arabia or whatever. They totally are for the Wahhabi and stuff against the Shia. And then they can just completely flip it, you know, across the line. Like they supported terrorists when they're in Syria, but they're on their side when they're in Iraq. You know, it's just whatever's convenient for their strategic interests. They don't really even believe in the shit they're selling.
No. It's as I said, they're targeting dominant groups in whatever region they're in because that's a threat to their control and hegemony. Let's do this one last thing here. Then we'll begin to wrap up. We're going for about, I think, a little bit over 2 hours. Was that?
I got a farm. I got to go and pretty soon.
Yeah. No, we'll wrap it up here shortly. Have you heard anything about the stillbirth situation and stuff like that? We have apparently a huge stillbirth problem. There was actually one guy who brought it up in the UK, the Canadian Parliament. I forget which region, Ontario, I believe. And of course, this is in the wake, right? You know, you've seen the footage of all the sports athletes and soccer football
players.
Sounds
like another symptom of Omicron, right?
Of course, whatever. It's just Omicron.
Oh, Omicron causes blood clots, Bell's palsy, heart inflammation,
myocarditis. Stillbirth, yeah, all know, of it. The range,
it's
the range,
same periods.
Right?
Yeah, it's all that stuff. It's not. Those are the jabs doing that.
It is. I think we're gonna. What's your take here? I mean, we have something. If the numbers are correct, there's something like close to 2 billion people that have gotten this supposed, you know, this gene therapy. And now, of course, they're leaving room. We know that they're talking about boosters. Albert Bourla, the you know, Amish CEO of Pfizer, he's talking about we might have to begin the whole series of vaccines over again. You know, forget about the boosters. We need one and two and then boosters.
Nine jabs they're like, you know what, this doesn't work.
They're leaving room for eight. Well, the thing is, it's going to work because the goal of it is to kill people. That's what I think.
Well, it works for what they're demanding as far as like the idiot taking a jab for it to work would mean to prevent you from getting COVID and spreading it. It's hilarious that they're blaming the spread on unvaccinated people. So if you're vaccinated, what are you worried about? It's like, oh, should I wear my winter coat so you don't get cold? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense. No. But it's I think it's really the
authoritarian mindset, and this whole thing is a giant obedience test. Put on your fucking face diaper and, you know, dress like this, walk here, be afraid. And it's a constant physical reminder for you to panic, right?
Yeah.
People all masked up and stupid looking. Every time I see idiots like walking in a restaurant with their mask and then they take them off and sit and eat, I'm like, what are you doing?
I know. It's
you cannot be that unaware. It's not possible.
Well, you know,
I don't know, man. We're living in idiocracy.
I mean, the compliance and the more absurd it gets, the more they want to comply and stuff like that, right? But someone pulled this out too. This is an interesting
I wonder if these factions are kind of fighting with each other, like Epstein and Dr. Fauci. He looks at those coffins like, hey, that was 5 years away from being fuckable.
Yeah, maybe they are. But, you know, we have a lot of good people here working to keep us safe.
Rachel Levine.
against the from the deadly COVID-19 pandemic, you know.
That guy, Rachel, whatever his name is, wanted to give hormones to three-year-olds.
Oh, he was like blockers. Defending it in a Congress or something. Like we should hormone blockers, right?
Levine.
Yep, Levine.
Sherry Berger.
Rochelle Walensky. Yeah, there are. Yeah, Jeff Zients. He's the guy who said we need to vaccinate the world to keep Americans safe recently.
And Zax.
Pal Zax. That's right. Moderna. Yep. All right. Anyway,
Dolstein.
What's going on there? Yeah, we can go on and on here.
They're all right-handed.
ancreport.com, that's the website. People can find you on a number of places, Ryan, of course. odyssey.com/@RyanDawson. You're on vk.com/RyDawson.
One of the first people on VK.
It's grown. It's not a free speech thing, and eventually people will probably be banned from there too. Actually, the video we just played, the farmer, Maria Farmer.
Well, countries will ban it. Like a country will say you can't play this in this country.
Yeah, that actually happened to the Maria Farmer video that I just played you. That was like blocked in your country, but apparently a ton of people in different countries were blocked everywhere. It's all right. You know, I don't mind it. The VK is holding on.
It's
for now,
extra. So. You know, it's like, well, if you're banned on Facebook, you can still. That's from the song. That hand. That looked weird.
Nice. All right, cool. No, it's
there's the anthrax timeline. I have a third map. I really need people to get these Epstein maps and stuff because they kicked us in the nads today financially banning the backup YouTube because it's really hard to build up an alternative thing when you're not on Twitter, not on Facebook, not on YouTube, not on Instagram, I'm not allowed on any of this stuff. Can't have PayPal, can't have Patreon, can't do anything. So I've got Telegram, Substack, an Odyssey, and I just got my Rumble back a few weeks ago. I guess I'll use it till I lose it type of thing, but the maps, there's a tab up there that says shop.
Where is it? Yeah, where's the map?
The ANC store right there. So if you go into that page, it'll give you, there's our calendar. It's pretty base. There's Epstein map with Epstein's face on it. The second
row.
Yep. Get an Epstein map. Yep. Okay. That's the 2021 one. There's a Biden crime map. That's the sort of blurple one on the right side. And I think the anthrax 9/11 thing's on like page 2 or 3 because we just put it out and they kind of go in order of popularity. So they stack them. Okay. Yeah. It's pretty complex on there, but, it comes, I think there's a QR code too. So yeah, I've got a 9.5 hour Epstein marathon I've done with Sean Atwood and others, just of interviews explaining like each part of that map pretty much.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, it's good to see you, Ryan. Thank you for coming on and just hanging out with us for a little bit here this Tuesday. Well, it's Wednesday where you are, Wednesday morning or afternoon, whatever it is now over there.
Yeah, it's afternoon now. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy
Merry
Yuletide.
Christmas. And, exactly, yeah.
Fighting the fight. You guys are doing really great work.
Well, thank you. You too, Ryan. We do appreciate you. So thank you for coming on. I have
spread the red ice message around, and I got some pushback with some shit they say about you. I'm like, that's not true. You know, and that's what people need to do. And they're like, aren't those people blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, nothing I've ever heard. Eat a dick.
We wear it proudly. Who cares, right?
I am out of liquor, actually. I've drank all of it.
I need to go get some. I need to go get a single malt of something.
All right, Ryan. I'm taking a train to the farm. I'm not driving. Don't worry.
Farm, so, right? Yeah. An actual farm, like you're farming.
Yeah, that's great. Farmland, and I still have a farm in Nara, so I'm going down there today. Nice. Every Wednesday. Go check
it out. Is it colder now? It's still in. It's cold. Is it cold?
It's supposed to be cold, but it isn't.
It isn't, okay.
It's December, but no, I got rice going in, and I got a lot of things. So, yeah, you know, I just enjoy – I'm not going to get into this rant, but I think sometimes you just need a kind of activity like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We've farmed and hunted and fished for so long. It's part of our psychology that something about it is – you know, healthy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't need it for substance. I might soon with the getting banned on everything, but like, I just grow things.
Subsistence lifestyle.
My brother-in-law has a thing. So,
you know, Ryan, yeah. I'll tell you this, with the way things going, like Holodomor 2.0, it's incoming supply chains, the farm shit that they're doing. And then they have other crazy shit. This is too much again, right here at the end,
about pipeline politics and stuff too later.
Yeah. Have you heard about the sucking all the carbon out of the atmosphere, like the Bill Gates project and stuff, like literally like direct air capture, they call it, and then they take all the carbon, turn it into rock, and they bury it under the ground. That's the next big thing. That's going to be wonderful. That's going to be fantastic for all the plants and the crops and the forests out there, by the way. So,
yeah, they need that. Oh, he wanted to blot out the sun. He sounds like
a
1980s supervillain from a cartoon or something.
That's so absurd. All right. Anyway, Ryan, I'll let you go. I know you're busy. Thank you, sir, for coming on. It was a pleasure.
All those pedophiles can go fuck a cactus. Maxwell is going to be in prison. Take it as a W. It could have been better, but hey.
Yeah.
That bitch is in jail. She's never going to leave. She's going to spend her birthday and Christmas in prison. We're still after these people. Burnell's still got a trial. Nygaard's still got a trial.
Yep, that's right.
Trying to get Prince Andrew, you know, that might become a trial.
Yep.
There's still the Deutsche Bank trial, which is another part of the Epstein saga, is his white collar crime.
Mm-hmm.
They're still on trial. They tried to kill the judge, as you know. So it ain't over with Glenn. There's a lot of ongoing litigation and trials to go through.
Oh, yeah.
And you never know who the next bastard on the map's going to drop. Leon Black left his position.
Yeah.
Robert Kraft was in trouble. He paid it to go away. Like, it ain't over.
No.
And we're still staying on the offense. And I might get censored and this and that. But I don't care. I will build up Odyssey. And, you know, we'll keep on keeping on.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Ryan. See you later. Take care. Bye.
Peace.
All right. There we go. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us here today. I did see a couple on Entropy, so we'll do those real quick before we wrap up here. I do appreciate you. We didn't really focus on the super chat thing today, but thank you, guys. Let me take a couple of these. I'm sorry. I should have read them right away. Sometimes it's hard when you do interviews, actually, because even though it's laid back, it's still a flow to things, and it's harder. But Lone Star Texan, thank you. He says, oy vey, I can hear the kvetching from here. Well, there you go. I think that was in relation to the first video we played, which was... That was a good one. I like that. Hopefully they don't get banned for that, by the way. RoboThink, unexpected Tuesday red eyes. Nice. Well, thank you for watching. Anderson Paladin says the Epstein map has a festive name, Carol of the Bells. Yeah, I didn't know the bell thing yet, but I do appreciate that. That's actually good. A nice little twist to things. Thank you. And we have, what do we have as well? Lone Star Texan again, literally every fucking time. I forget exactly what that was in reference to, but yes, generally that seems to be the case. Almost regarding whatever topic you're talking about. Arn Jim says, Rye Jack and Henrik talking juice and bourbon. Merry Christmas / Happy Jule, gentlemen. Well, Happy Jule and Merry Christmas to you as well. Cheers to you both, and best to your families for the new year. LEFT. I got to look up that acronym. I'm not sure. I know what that is. But thank you. Arn Jim says, same to you, sir. I do appreciate you. JP says, then one day, all of a sudden, for no reason at all. Yes, that's usually how it goes. Usually, if there's a counter-reaction, it has nothing to do with anything that preceded it or a lead-up or a build-up to something. Blas Eliso says, the Chosenites were chosen. However, according to Masonry and other ancient texts, their daddy is Elohim, known as Lucifer, a.k.a. the devil. Yeah, isn't that like one of the, I think at least in Masonry, it's like one of the final reveal. Maybe it's not the final. It's fairly early, I think, actually, in it. I mean, not the third degree, but like if you go with, what are they called? It's the Templar... Rite, and then you have the Scottish Rite. I forget if it's the Scottish Rite, but at some point along that pyramid, as you ascend the degrees, they like reveal to you that it's like, oh no, it's actually Lucifer that's our savior. That's why they have the AL on all the Masonic buildings, Anno Lucius, the year of Lucifer, or if you will, then year of light, when we all became enlightened. Anno Californian says, hard-hitting episode. Love it. Thank you, Anno Californian. Good to see you around as well. It was a while ago. I do appreciate you all. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Check out the latest Weekend Warrior show. That went up, what is it today? Tuesday? What is it, Tuesday? Yeah, it's Tuesday, 14th. So yesterday that was uploaded on the 13th. Check that out. Good show. We covered some of the COVID stuff, of course, but some of the other topics too. Talked a bit about Lucian, the Jävla Bocken in the beginning. That's always a good show. We talked about nuking Russia. That's from Vaush on the far left commie spectrum all the way to the cocky GOP. They all agree we got to either coup Russia with the CIA, or we got to nuke Russia. That's basically it. We did talk about the story regarding Trump and Netanyahu. Trump finally have seen the light, I guess, on Netanyahu. That took a while, though. CNN pedos and some of the anti-white crime, hate crime that's occurred. Anyway, a lot more than that, just a couple of the featured stories. But yeah, check that out on RedHouseMembers.com. Sign up over there. Good way of supporting the show as well. And of course, we do want to try to get 300 to Subscribestar. There's some people that are unsubscribing, which I completely understand. It's harder times. It's inflation. There's a number of issues. But we have not been able to reach that hurdle of 300, as you have two people sign up, one cancel, and so forth. But if you want to join us over on, and that's how it goes. I totally get it. If you can't, you can't. But if you do want to join us over there, Subscribestar, let me pull that up real quick so you can see here. Yes, there it is. Subscribestar.com/redice. Join us over there. It's only 10 bucks a month. That helps to support the show as well. We're inching closer and closer to be able to get an editor aboard as well. And of course, if you do help us over the hurdle and push through, then that will be much easier for us to do as well. Just have a reliable source. We actually can pay some salaries around here again. That's the next stage, next level to this. We are desperately in need of help. We are undermanned and overworked. So we do appreciate your support. Entropy Stream, you can do the same thing there, 10 bucks a month if you want, or you can do a one-time payment there as well. There's a couple of different ways you can sign up. The Cash App still works remarkably. Not sure why, but you have that on screen right there. We have an e-check option if you're in the U.S. as well, kind of like paying a utility bill. Easy, nice and easy. We do take cryptos. If you don't see the crypto on redicemembers.com when you sign up, send us an email and just let us know what crypto you'd like to pay with, and we most likely can provide you with an address for that as well. And finally, here's a mailing address if you prefer that old way. Yeah, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, with No Go Zone as usual. And then we'll do, where are we here? No, it's next week. That's right. Next week on the 23rd, that's Thursday, the 23rd, we'll be doing our little Yule special. So we'll land on that this year. So we won't do a Flashback Friday next week on the 24th because we'll be busy with family and stuff. Haven't decided about the Weekend Warrior show yet. We might come back and do it just a little bit later. So it's out like maybe Tuesday or something like that. We'll see what we do there. But otherwise, this week, it should be business as usual. All right, boys and girls, thank you so much again for joining us. We'll be back with much more soon. Until then, take care, keep fighting, hold the line, and we'll see you soon.
Do you love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.